so-called deal they just presented. We'll get into that. But we're also going to talk about censorship and how, you know, Netanyahu is meeting with these, influencers. And really it shows the desperation that Israel's in right now. And I've got some answers for them, by the way. It's not about controlling the messaging. It's about controlling the behavior of the government. So we'll get into that as well. And then we're going to talk about the UK digital ID introduced, that's being introduced. And it's already been introduced in a lot of other European countries. The UK is introducing it now under the claim that they're going to stop illegal migration with it. This, of course, is unbelievably absurd, and we'll dive into exactly what this portends. In fact, I just saw Alex Jones finished out his show with the segment from Alex Newman talking about CBDCs and the digital ID and how that is the necessary framework for a global totalitarian slave system. I was going to start my show with that, but if you're watching, Alex, you just saw it. So we'll go instead to a clip of Donald Trump speaking with Netanyahu at the press conference. They didn't take any questions. It was a 2-hour talk. I gotta say, if I was Israel, I'd be panicking right now. We'll go over sort of what has led to this point, but they've got the whole world turning against them in a very real way, and they're desperate to make the last 2 years of war worth it, to make it worth it. And for it to be worth it, they gotta take out Iran, and they have to really eliminate all of their enemies in the Middle East. Otherwise, they've really only sowed the seeds of their own destruction. Let's go now to Donald Trump with Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House earlier today. Clip 12.
So let us not forget how we got here. Hamas was elected by the Palestinian people. Israel withdrew from Gaza thinking they would live in peace. Remember that a long time ago they withdrew. They said, you take it. This is our contribution to peace. But that didn't work out. That didn't work out. It was the opposite of peace. They pulled away. They let them have it. And I never forgot that, because I said, that doesn't sound like a good deal to me. As a real estate person, I mean, they gave up the ocean, right? Ron, they gave up the ocean. They said, who would do this deal? And it still didn't work out. They were very generous, actually. And they gave up the most magnificent piece of land in many ways in the Middle East. And they said, all we want to do now is have peace. And that request was not honored. Instead of building a better life for the Palestinians, Hamas diverted resources to build over 400 miles of tunnels and terror infrastructure, rocket production facilities, and hid their military command posts and launch sites in hospitals, schools, and mosques. So if you went after them, you'd be after them, and you wouldn't even realize you ended up knocking out a hospital or school or a mosque. A terrible thing, terrible way to have to fight. No fight is good, but that's a real bad one. So there are many Palestinians who wish to live in peace. Many. I've seen so many of them. And they have support. And I challenge the Palestinians to take responsibility for their destiny, because that's what we're giving them. We're giving them responsibility for their destiny, fully condemn and prohibit terrorism and earn their way to a brighter future. They don't want the life that they've had. They've had a rough life with Hamas. If the Palestinian Authority does not complete the reforms that I laid out in my vision for peace in 2020, they'll have only themselves to blame. We're giving them an amazing footprint, and they have amazing support from the leaders of the Arab world and the Muslim world, the great, great leaders. These are great leaders. These are unbelievable leaders that have built great countries and very wealthy countries. What the future holds for the Palestinians, no one really knows, but the plan that we put forward today is focused on ending the war immediately, getting all of our hostages back, getting everything back. Hard to believe when you even say it. And creating conditions for durable Israeli security and Palestinian success.
All right, folks, so we'll pick this up on the other side and tell you what's really going on behind the scenes.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexandstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try ultramethylene blue, exclusively available at thealexandstore.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, coming to you live at this Monday, the 29th of September, 2025. Support us, of course, by going to thealexjonesstore.com. The Methylene Blue Buy One, Get One sale ends today. It was supposed to end yesterday. It's been extended for a little while. It'll end tonight at midnight. Methylene Blue, two for one. Buy one capsule, get another capsule free. Buy one tincture, get another tincture free. Whichever Ultra Methylene Blue product you purchase at thealexjonesstore.com, we'll give you another one for free. That's on top of all the discounts that are already on there in the VIP club membership. Go today, thealexjonesstore.com. To keep us on the air and in the fight, as again, we don't even discuss all of the machinations going on behind the scenes these days, but we are still in the fight for our life, and your support at thealexjonesstore.com is the lifeblood we need to keep going. So I said at the beginning, if you saw the first 5 minutes of this hour, I said that I would be covering three main topics, but that they're all one topic, really, at the end of the day. And that is what's happening with Israel and the, you know, military discussions going on, the increased amount of censorship in this country, the vast majority of which is coming from Israeli-aligned organizations like AIPAC and the ADL. And we'll get into that. And, of course, Benjamin Netanyahu is, you know, meeting with influencers here in America, training them on how to best support Israel, which is, of course, treason. I mean, it's they're openly working for a foreign government. Are they registering under FARA? I seriously doubt it. And then we'll be talking about the UK digital ID, and I don't think it's going to surprise you to know that the very same people trying to get censorship in America for the sake of Israel are the ones who will be in charge of the digital ID in the UK, which will vary rapidly and really kind of already has become a social credit score. So we'll get into that as well, and we'll look at the UK not just as a symbol of what happens when your country's taken over by globalists, but as a warning of what is to come if we allow ourselves to go down that same trail. So before we return to the agreements, the decisions, the statements made by Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu today at the White House, we have a couple things to observe about this, a couple things that may be indicating a shift in position between the U.S. and Israel, which is unacceptable for the Israelis. And things are getting a little bit unstable for them. It's all getting a little bit wobbly. Just to remind you of what's happened like over the last little while, you had Benjamin Netanyahu giving a speech at the UN to basically an empty room. There was a mass walkout of his speech, and he essentially delivered a speech to an empty hall. This has never happened for Israel. This is what it looks like when a country becomes a pariah on the world stage. And that had to have been shocking for old BB. You know, usually he's giving these presentations with a big cartoon bomb where he's coloring it in, telling you how close Iran is to killing everyone. And he's used to, you know, a full audience wrapped and hanging on his every word. And not so much anymore. And that just is indicative of the wider trend amongst European leaders of condemning Israel, moving away from Israel. Many European leaders are now recognizing Palestine as a legitimate country. The EU has stopped all weapon shipments and are even talking about sanctions against Israel. Donald Trump, while at the UN, met with all of the Arab leaders about ending the war with Israel. Netanyahu calls Palestinian recognition disgraceful as dozens walk out of UN speech. It ain't looking good. It ain't looking good. And of course, that is on top of just the fact that they are being completely blown out of the water in the social media sphere. Yeah, not quite so scary anymore when Bibi, you know, hangs these threats over our head. This is from my co-host on Moonbase Live, John, Lebanon John. He just put together a little Middle East update, September 24th through 26th, 2025. Quote, Trump, Europe, and the Arabs have had enough, finally. Bibi to meet Trump soon, but the Israeli delegation is in a panic, sensing they've lost control of Trump. Big changes in the Middle East, so big, I'd say everything is changing. J.D. Vance went on Fox News to say he wanted Palestinian control of Gaza and the West Bank moving forward. Of course, Donald Trump also came out and said very forcefully and unequivocally, West Bank will not be annexed into Israel. Now, he's never said anything like that, and to put it out publicly like that, to say it just verbatim with no hedging, then he's, you know, he's putting his cards on the table. He's going, I'm not going to allow Israel to have the West Bank, and if they do, I'm going to look like an idiot. So now it's on me to do this. This is unlike anything that we've seen out of Trump before. Contradict a little bit, or it seems like maybe the statement made today was less forceful, and we'll talk about that. But moving forward, this directly contradicts the Israeli vision as well as the Zionist cultists in the USA. Israel seems to have crossed a line, perhaps embarrassing Trump and attempting to annex the West Bank where there's no Hamas. Maybe that was it. Ostensibly, they, Europe, Gulf Arabs, White House, all hate Hamas, but the latest Israeli actions have nothing to do with Hamas. Or maybe killing Charlie Kirk hurt Trump in a way he can't shake. And again, I've been told from people who apparently in the know that people in the White House really believe that it was Israel that killed Charlie Kirk. It's hearsay and gossip, but I heard that like 3 days after the assassination. That was 2 weeks ago, and I haven't heard any change since. Meanwhile, on the ground, the Al-Qassam brigades claim multiple attacks in Gaza City, strikes on Merkava and Namer armored vehicles, a sniper operation in Al-Tufa, and using electronic warfare, they took control of an Israeli reconnaissance drone mid-flight. That signifies that the Palestinian resistance is actually gaining in technological capabilities mid-war. Absurd. Bad news for Israel, especially after Macron confirmed Hamas has not dropped in manpower since the war started either. But of course, that's the problem when your, you know, military action is mostly against civilians and your enemy exists almost entirely underground. Your bombs can't reach them. And we said this the day after, or the, you know, 4 days after the October 7th attack. We said Israel doesn't have the manpower to go into the tunnels. They don't have the, well, they really just wouldn't do it anyway, even if they had the manpower, but that's not the type of thing they do. All they can do is bomb, and bombs won't affect Hamas because Hamas is underground. So to get to Hamas, you have to send people into the tunnels, but Israel doesn't have the manpower or the, frankly, courage to do so. So unless they can get U.S. Marines to come over and clear out these tunnels, like we're back in Vietnam, Hamas is not being hurt. Okay, so the bombing campaign against civilians claiming they're Hamas didn't actually hurt Hamas pretty much at all. That's according to the French president, Emmanuel Macron. Hebrew media reported high tension within Netanyahu's U.S. delegation ahead of talks with Trump. Netanyahu canceled a scheduled public appearance to focus on discussions. According to the Financial Times, Arab governments pushed Trump towards a Gaza plan at odds with Israel's position, causing unease among the Israeli side. Arab influence is winning versus Israel influence in the Trump administration. Another potential straw that broke the camel's back was the overly aggressive Israeli military campaign, causing Hamas to lose contact with two Israeli prisoners that they were in negotiations to release right now. I can't imagine Trump is happy about that. It's one thing to hate Hamas, but this cannot be justified. Italian officials signal a shift towards partial sanctions on Israel, potentially reshaping EU alignment. Europeans are now moving to sanctions on Israel. Israeli commenters warn the risk of new significant tougher conflict with Iran is rising. The next war with Iran looks like it's going to be very hard for Israel. All eyes on Trump for this latest meeting with Bibi, the war criminal. Will Trump be faced with a new form of blackmail or threats, financial collapse, Epstein, assassination, or will Trump yell at him the whole time? Oh, we didn't see much of any of that. But that's just a little breakdown of, again, the sand shifting through Israel's fingers and the recognition that they're having to come to terms with that they can't blackmail enough people to keep a lid on this thing. They, you know, have captured a lot of sort of the cultural bottlenecks where, you know, you get somebody in position and they can control a large number of people or entire institutions. I don't know if that's going to be sufficient to deal with the full-fledged universal condemnation that they're receiving from most people, And again, we're always getting sort of conflicting information, especially when it comes to Trump and his relationship with Bibi Netanyahu. Half the time it seems like he hates the guy. He's retweeting things that are calling him a warmongering bastard. He's seemingly, you know, despises the guy and has for years, at least since 2020 when Bibi Netanyahu was the first, you know, international figure to celebrate Biden's victory and claim Trump lost the election. I don't think he's ever forgotten that, but I don't think that was the beginning of the hostility either. And yet he still is so obsequious. He is still so, he deflects everything to Bibi Netanyahu. He celebrates him endlessly. Okay, so this is just a dichotomy between how he feels in private and how he has to portray himself publicly. I don't really know, but there are some other signals that might point to the fact that it's sort of becoming too much. It's sort of getting to the point where Trump is feeling humiliated. Obviously, we've heard Tucker Carlson claim that Bibi Netanyahu is going around the world telling everybody he controls the United States. Bibi Netanyahu takes this seriously enough to have to go on TV and say, no, I'm not doing that. Why would I do that? I would never do that. And of course, there's undercover video of him doing exactly that. So, you know, it's not exactly a surprise, but this is how Bibi Netanyahu was welcomed to the White House today. Clip 14 here. This is President Donald Trump welcoming the Israeli President Bibi Netanyahu to the White House. This is published by the White House Twitter account. Here's him being welcomed to the Capitol this morning. Okay, here they go. Walk up, shake hands. What, do you notice something? Is there something strange happening here? Do you notice anything missing, perhaps? There I see two Marine guards walking away. But what we're missing are the colors. What we're missing are the, you know, lines of military representatives holding the flags of the two countries and treating this visit with the pomp and ceremony that a state visit usually requires. And I'm not the only one to have noticed this. Actually, Steve Bannon was one of the first people to point this out. Clip number 7 here. He says he's never seen anything like this. And again, this is protocol like this, sort of etiquette like this. Small things can seem like very big things. I'm reminded of things like, you know, George Washington. He'd always sign his letters, you know, your faithful servant, George Washington. And then if he's really mad at you, he'll write your servant, George Washington. And this was like, this was a slap in the face to people, right? Because there's this protocol. There's the way you do things. There's the etiquette you're supposed to follow. And even a tiny deviation from that signals something much bigger because it's done on purpose as a sign to people who know what the predicate should be, what the etiquette should be. So let's go to, Steve Bannon, who recognized that this lack of the color guard was a real big signal to the rest of the world. Let's watch.
I'm telling you, I've never seen it, and maybe people in the chat can correct me if I'm wrong, or people in the media that watch this. I've never seen a leader of a country, particularly of a country that's supposedly an ally, ever show up to the working door on the West Wing where the president greets, and president did come out and greet, with no color guard. That is sending a signal. I've never seen it done before. It certainly hasn't been done at every time we've been doing it here in Rural America's Voice and President Trump gets in. I don't know. A couple of dozen of these things. Every time's the same thing. We always take time early to see the color guard coming out with all the colors and the pomp and circumstance, the custom and tradition, the honoring the person showing up. I think there's a reason President Trump, normally these things, you know, but they come show up at 11. They're always late. They get there 11:15. By 11:30, our show is over, and we're just watching like you are the president in the bilat being Trump being Trump. That's not happening right now. I think they're having a discussion. I think the discussion goes back to the 21-point plan that President Trump put forward to the Arab nations in sidebar meetings.
So, again, for people that don't pay attention to this stuff, everything that's happened to the White House today might seem like a routine visit from a foreign dignitary. But if you know the details, there are some things that aren't quite right. There was no color guard to welcome him. He wasn't honored quite nearly as much as he usually was. Instead of a sort of 15-minute meet and greet followed by photos and a press conference, there was a 2-hour meeting behind closed doors. When they did give the press conference, they made some announcements, but they took no questions. And of course, Trump's sort of excuse for this was, well, I got to go meet with the Democrats because of the government shutdown, which, oh my God, we're doing that again. Okay, we're doing that again. All right, I forget. I guess it's been 6 months. Time to, you know, freak out about the, you know, artificial deadline. Or the government's going to shut down. Oh no, it's just exhausting. And we got a lot of other bigger things to worry about, in my opinion. But okay, fine. That's a big looming deadline that we have to deal with. So with this meeting with Netanyahu, there were some changes from how things normally go. And again, you've got to see the trajectory that Israel is on right now. They're being abandoned by many of their stalwart allies. Europe is turning against them. The Arab countries are basically aligning against them as well. They're meeting with Trump in back rooms, excluding Israel in the discussions to come up with this plan. From CNN.com, where things stand, there's a possible Gaza so-called peace plan. President Donald Trump says he's close to a peace agreement that would end the war in Gaza following his meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. This agreement, which Hamas has not yet agreed to, includes the release of all hostages and the demilitarization of Gaza. Oh, well, I'm sure they'll accept that immediately, right? Hell, if there's one thing as good as gold, it's the promises of the Israeli government. So as long as they promise and cross their heart, hope to die, that, you know, they'll definitely not attack once they've been demilitarized, then I'm sure they'll have no problem handing all of their weapons over to the people who have been bombing their hospitals for 2 years. I don't trust this at all. Just at all, as far as what I know it's about. Now, there was an interesting, again, another sort of new thing in American diplomacy. Netanyahu was forced to apologize. The prime ministers of Israel and Qatar apparently had a heart-to-heart talk over the phone today, Trump said. Earlier, an Israeli source said Netanyahu, while at the White House, apologized to Qatar over the Doha strikes. Again, that's very interesting. So Trump forced Netanyahu on the phone with the prime minister of Qatar and forced him to apologize for bombing the negotiators that, you know, America had helped to, you know, have stationed in Qatar. That's, again, extremely interesting and different. And Trump made a statement about this. Let's go down to clip number 11. This is, again, Trump earlier today during his press conference with Benjamin Netanyahu.
I'm pleased to report that earlier today we took another important step toward greater understanding of the region. A short time ago, we had a historic phone call in the Oval Office with Prime Minister Tani, who's really a great, great person. So we had a great talk, and I was on the phone, and Bibi was talking. Prime Minister Al-Thani was of Qatar. They really had a heart-to-heart conversation. It was a great conversation, I thought. It was productive. It was everything that you need to have something turn out to be successful. And I want to thank Bibi, and I want to thank the Prime Minister. It was fantastic. We agreed to launch a formal trilateral mechanism between Israel, Qatar, and the United States to begin a dialogue to enhance mutual security, correct misperceptions, and avoid future misgivings. And I want to thank Qatar, its leadership, and the Emir. He's a fantastic person. I think, you know, I'm going to be his public relations man because I know him differently than a lot of people know him. But he wants peace. He wants to see peace. And his people, and they really acknowledge the critical role that they've played as mediator. And again, we're not quite finished. We have to get Hamas, but I think they're going to be able to do this. So
again, Hamas has not agreed to this, which means it's really just nothing. It's really, you know, a kind of a lot of nothing. And I'm not sure why Hamas would agree to this, especially if it includes total demilitarization. Plus, we can get into the whole thing of the fact that Israel has funded Hamas from the beginning and allowed October 7th to happen on purpose because they wanted this the entire time. And it is important to keep those things in your mind. But as for now, the way this is being reported is the Trump administration's roadmap for peace in Gaza, which the White House released just before President Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu addressed reporters, calls for an end to the war, the release of the remaining hostages, and the withdrawal of Israeli troops. It seems to have undergone some changes since it was initially presented to Arab leaders in New York last week, shrinking from 21 points to 20. Trump noted Hamas still needed to agree to it, though Netanyahu indicated his support today. Again, I wonder if Israel isn't looking around and going, we need to pump the brakes a little bit. At least a little bit. Because right now they're driving off a cliff in terms of public support. And they need public support. It's not an option for them. It's not like they just want America to like them. If that was the case, they wouldn't do all of the stuff that makes us not like them. But they need our support. Without our support, they are dead in the water. I mean, they're surrounded by enemies. Everybody, even in Western Europe that used to have their back, doesn't support them anymore. Basically, all they have at this point are the co-opted, blackmailed Israel-visiting congressmen in the U.S. government Donald Trump and the heads of the social media companies. Like, that's who's on their side. Everybody else wants this ridiculous festival of murder to end. Let's go now to clip number 17. This is Trump announcing a board of peace today with Bibi Netanyahu at the White House once again.
So this is a big, big day, a beautiful day, potentially one of the great days ever in civilization. Things that have been going on for hundreds of years and thousands of years, we're going to, at least we're at a minimum very, very close, and I think we're beyond very close. And I want to thank Bibi for really getting in there and doing a job. We've worked well together, as we have with many other countries, both of us, with many other countries, which is the only way this whole situation gets solved. And I'm not just talking about Gaza. Gaza is one thing, but we're talking about much beyond Gaza. The whole deal, everything getting solved. It's called peace in the Middle East. So today is a historic day for peace, and Prime Minister Netanyahu and I have just concluded an important meeting on many vital issues, including Iran, trade, the expansion of the Abraham Accords, and most importantly, we discussed how to end the war in Gaza, but it's just a part of the bigger picture, which is peace in the Middle East. And let's call it eternal peace in the Middle East. So this is far more than anybody expected, but the level of support that I've had from the nations in the Middle East and surrounding Israel and neighbors of Israel has been incredible. Incredible. Every single one of them.
So apparently this agreement calls for the withdrawal of Israeli troops from Gaza to be replaced by an international force called the Board of Peace. I'm a little bit suspicious of this, I have to admit. So here's what we know from insider paper. U.S. President Donald Trump said on Monday that Washington's peace plan for Gaza would involve the drawing up of a timeline for Israeli forces to withdraw from the Palestinian enclave in phases. Working with the new transitional authority in Gaza, all parties will agree on a timeline for Israeli forces to withdraw in phases, Trump told reporters at the White House, referring to a new body that would govern the Palestinian territory. I guess it would matter on about who's in that international body, the Board of Peace. Is it going to be Israelis? I don't know. But it's probably not going to be purely Palestinians. In fact, it's obviously not going to be purely Palestinians, which I think anything other than letting the Palestinians decide their own destiny and represent themselves and form their own government is still a betrayal of my personal, nationalistic impulses. So the initial version of this agreement, the 21-point plan presented by Trump to the Arabs at the UN, called for the release of all hostages held by Hamas within 48 hours of an agreement. According to a source familiar with the plan, the latest version calls for this to be done within 72 hours. Today's new version did not specifically mention that Israel will not attack Qatar as the version presented last week did. So last week they had this provision where, Israel had promised not to attack Qatar. They apparently removed that. It says no one will be forced to leave Gaza, and those who wish to leave will be free to do so and free to return. So that's a very interesting development that is completely at odds with everything we've heard from Israel so far. We'll return to this on the other side. Is this a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it even a thing or just a fake?
We're not funded by anybody but you. So I'm going to bring you products that are absolutely amazing and will change your life. We have the best ultramethylene blue, medical grade, at thealexjonesstore.com. You've seen Kennedy taking it. Everybody, my medical doctor almost 7 years ago said, get USP medical grade methylene blue. And it cleans out your mitochondria, gives you all this energy. So good for your brain. So good for your stamina, libido, energy, focus. And I took it and didn't really feel it. My wife liked it, kept ordering different brands of it. Then we got the stuff that our sponsor is putting out, because I always have them get the top rated. And they said, oh, we got a medical lab. They've never even put it out as a supplement before. It's what they use in surgeries. It's the very best. We've got it. The crew starts taking it, going crazy. They said, this is so much energy. This is so good. Within 15, 20 minutes, I've given it to like 500 people. Only two of them didn't feel it. But it's the long-term effects you really feel. Sean Johnson, Navy SEAL buddy of mine, I work with every day. He literally says he's never felt better. Injuries he had don't even hurt anymore. You've heard the rave reviews. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com, because here's the news flash. You wanted it, We did it even on limited supply. Today the deal ends. Buy one bottle of the capsules or the liquid, and you get another bottle free right now. Also, if you sign up for AutoShip as a subscriber, you can cancel any time for free. It locks it in forever as long as you're a subscriber at 50% off if you're a subscriber. Also, anybody buying anything, the T-shirts, all the great stuff, the ball caps, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, the supplements, become a VIP, just like being at Amazon Prime. $30 a month, you get $40 to spend in the store instantly as credit. Special deals, special offers, special sales on top of everything. So anybody that's going to buy anything at theolivestore.com, at checkout, let's say you're buying a $30 T-shirt or whatever. All right, you then click to be a VIP, and now the T-shirt is free. And you get extra $10. You see how that works? Everybody should be a VIP. And then you know you're supporting us. I don't own theolivestore.com. So they're successful. This Friday, they're trying to get the federal court to shut us down again. We got the backup network because of them. And they can't take it over because I don't own theolivestore.com. It is, give me an overhead shot. It is so critical. I don't even talk about ourselves anymore. We're under so much attack. Just pray for us. But that's what's going on. That's the battles that are happening. That is the reality of this. So I need your support now at thealexjonesstore.com. And there are so many other great supplements there as well. We have the best bovine colostrum. We have the very best spike protein detox, cardiovascular booster, ultimate life force. It's all there. Thealexjonesstore.com.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
TheAlexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have. 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while.
If you don't mind, I'm a bottle that fills too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, like on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
While I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Peeling back the layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We're talking about what is going on with Israel, breaking down the agreement that was announced today between Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu. And I'm going to try to expand this out here in this next segment, talk about where this goes from here and how it intertwines with our other major stories, which would be things like the digital ID in the UK, as well as censorship here in America. So again, the agreement put out today basically says that they're demanding the return of all hostages within 72 hours. If that doesn't happen, then Israel will be given a free hand to do basically whatever they want there. But either way, it's claiming that Israel will not control Gaza, will not occupy Gaza, and will not annex Gaza or the West Bank. So this is interesting for Israel even to agree to this, you know, in spirit is a total change, a complete deflection from their former trajectory. So here's what it says. No one will be forced to leave Gaza, and those who wish to leave will be free to do so and free to return. This is despite Trump's past statements about forced displacement. It also says Israel will not occupy or annex Gaza. This is the agreement that was, you know, announced today. Both versions describe two levels of interim governance, an overarching international body and a Palestinian committee. Today's plan describes the international body as a, quote, board of peace chaired by Trump. So it's almost going back to Trump's statement at the beginning of his second administration where he said, I'm going to take over Gaza. Actually, America's going to take it over. sort of going back to that, I guess this would be a supposedly international group, but Trump would be the chair of it, which is interesting. The proposal calls for no future role for Hamas in governance in Gaza. It also acknowledges the possibility of a Palestinian state, but does not say the U.S. would recognize such a state. Okay, so these are all very new developments in the relationship between America and Israel. We seem to be standing up to them in a way for the first time, but are we really? But is that really happening? One of the things that's been bandied about recently is that Tony Blair might take over Gaza. And I imagine when it, you know, you think like, how would that even happen? Well, maybe it's this Board of Peace. So people are talking about Tony Blair taking over Gaza. People saying, how is that going to work? Now Trump comes out and announces a Board of Peace that apparently he would be the chairman of, but would obviously require other international figures. And Tony Blair would probably be one of the main ones. Tony Blair, of course, is central in the introduction of the digital identity happening in the UK right now. We'll revisit that later. But continuing with the CNN article, the United States 20-point plan to end the war in Gaza appears to go well beyond the typical framework of ceasefire and hostage negotiations, setting the stage for Israel to gradually hand over territory it has conquered to an international security force. The proposal lays out two potential pathways. In one, Israeli forces will withdraw to agreed upon lines if Hamas agrees to release all the hostages within 72 hours. If Hamas refuses, Israel will continue its military offensive in Gaza and gradually hand over territory to a transitional authority. In either path, the proposal marks the first time Israel has publicly agreed to eventually withdraw from parts of the Gaza Strip and hand over territory to an international security force. So I see this basically as a admission of weakness by Israel in a very real way. And I wonder if Hamas will see that as well. So apparently they've been given 72 hours. This is the comprehensive plan as published by the White House. Go ahead and leave that up because I want to read this. I haven't seen this yet. IDF, current line of control, initial withdrawal, hostage release, second withdrawal. Okay, so they have these layers of withdrawal with eventually a sort of demilitarized zone as a buffer around Gaza. Basically, I guess, resetting us to back where we were on October 6th. Gaza will be de-radicalized, terror-free zone that does not oppose a threat to neighbors. Gaza will be redeveloped for the benefit of the people of Gaza who have suffered more than enough. If both sides agree to this proposal, the war will immediately end. Israeli forces will withdraw to the agreed-upon line to prepare for hostage release. During this time, all military operations will be limited or, you know, restricted completely. I wonder how Israel will feel about this. I mean, they've been told over and over that what's happening in Gaza is, you know, an existential problem that they're trying to solve, and that if they don't solve it, then it's just a matter of time before another October 7th happens. I wonder how they'll feel about this, you know, in general, as a people. But one thing I know is that some Israelis are already not in favor of this, as of course is going to happen with, you know, any country that has in any way, you know, open discussion about their governance. Let's go to clip number one here, because this was a gigantic art installation from today on a beach in Tel Aviv, of all places. Let's go ahead and roll it. This is a mural showing Trump and Netanyahu face to face ahead of their meeting. And you have Benjamin Netanyahu's nose is super long and poking Trump in the eye saying, "Don't be fooled again." So this is a piece of, you know, anti-Netanyahu art basically telling Trump, "Hey, this guy's a liar and he's screwing you over. Don't fall for it again." And this was on a beach in Tel Aviv. So obviously you've got people there in Israel that are like trying to, maybe like me, kind of like leaning on Trump's ego and going, "Hey, you want to look like an idiot? Because you keep getting fooled by this person. Stop. Stop believing him. Stop doing what he says." So I thought that was interesting, but I don't know how people are going to feel about this. The sacrifices, you know, the Israelis have been forced to make over the last 2.5 years, if it just, you know, Gaza just is free and the Palestinians are rewarded, I don't know if they'll stand for that. I don't know if they have a choice, though, at the end of the day. I think they're recognizing that they've gone perhaps a bit too far. They've made a terrible mistake. They have gone all in on their ability to destroy Gaza, and now they're showing their cards and they don't have the best hand. I really think they're freaking out here. In fact, I know they're freaking out. Because you see that the way that they are now suddenly hyper fixated on the so-called eighth front in the war, which is us, by the way. They're at war with us, in case you haven't noticed. They have declared war against us in the information war. And those are the terms that they're calling it. So I want to go now to a video of this guy, Israeli Hasbara agent, Elon Levy, something like that. And I believe this was one of the guys that was actually at the, you know, influencer meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu. We'll show you some clips from that in just a second. I believe he was one of these guys. But listen to him. I actually agree with him in what he's saying about the importance that Israel should be placing on their reputation overseas. It's not just about winning the war in Gaza on the ground. That's only half the battle. Let's watch.
When we call legitimacy a front in the war, we minimize it. There are 7 physical fronts in the war. We can win on 6 of them, lose on 1 of them, and say we still won 6 out of 7. Legitimacy is not the same. Legitimacy is the domain that underpins the rest of the war. Because if we lose the legitimacy front, then our military advantages on all the other fronts really don't matter if we emerge from this war a global pariah where the average European is convinced that Israel is worse than Nazi Germany. And that is the goal of the information war that is being waged against us right now. To convince the average person in the West that Israel is worse than Nazi Germany. Worse because the Nazis couldn't have known any better, and the Jews really should.
So here's the problem. Here's the issue with that. The thing that's convincing people that you're worse than the Nazis is the evidence of your crimes that is being uploaded in their entirety to social media. There is a, I've explained this many times, but it's simple and explains why so-called anti-Semitism is discussed in the way that it is. They have to convince people that anti-Semitism is totally random. It's like a spontaneous outburst of mental illness. It's just this bizarre sort of generational evil that comes up every once in a while. And there's no point trying to reason with it. There's no point trying to investigate what could be the cause of it because it's just crazy. It's just this like spiritual malaise that happens to strike people sometimes, and it has to just be, you know, made illegal or crushed somehow. And that is such an absurd stance, and it makes you incapable of dealing with the actual problem. And you'll notice this throughout, you know, everything that we're talking about. If you leave out what Israel does, yeah, everything seems crazy. Again, we've described this over and over, where they go, October 7th happened, and then there was a massive rise in anti-Semitism. It's TikTok's fault, right? And it's like, did anything happen in between that? Anything at all? Because again, that would be crazy. Israel gets attacked on October 7th. Israel, you know, some soldiers, but a lot of civilians get brutally massacred, and suddenly everybody hates Israel. That would be crazy. That doesn't make any sense. I get slapped and people yell at me. I mean, that's nuts. That's nuts. Or it would be nuts if that's all that happened. If it was October 7th and everybody became anti-Semitic, okay, now we're dealing with some sort of inexplicable supernatural contagion. But no, it was the bombing campaign that goes to this day and continues unabated. Do you want to see a video from earlier today? I've got them. I've got multiple. Let's go to clip number 2 here. This was earlier today. A building in Gaza being utterly destroyed. Let's watch. So these types of images, that's what's making people not like Israel. And it's the Israeli government, the actions of their military, that then people like Jonathan Greenblatt of the ADL say, actually, any criticism of the brutality of the Israeli military is in fact just a disguised, a dog whistle for anti-Semitism, and it has to be stopped. And of course, that was what the adoption of the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism was about, which we reported on, have reported on every step of the way that it's been, you know, introduced and included in the official definition of anti-Semitism by the American government. So that's the actual reason why people are turning against Israel. And then they extrapolate that out to all Jews, say this is a rise in anti-Semitism. And, you know, we have to fight against that. But if you never acknowledge or reference or include anything that you are doing, and you only ever talk about attacks against you, then yeah, it can seem crazy. But does anybody buy that? Does anybody think that's actually what's happening here? Now, there's another school of thought in this. I've talked about this video a few times, but I've never played it. I don't know if I agree with everything this guy is saying, but I think in general, it's an interesting take, and I think it incorporates some of the motivations or some of the reasoning behind a lot of the evangelical support of Israel in America because I think a lot of what Israel is doing is playing on the end of times revelations sort of mentality that a lot of people have. And you see this in people like Mike Huckabee, who's our ambassador to Israel right now. He genuinely believes that, you know, we are in the end times, that in order for Jesus Christ to come back, you know, Israel has to go to war with the world. And so, you know, to these people, I guess, when you've got Europe turning against Israel and, you know, all the Arab neighbors turning against Israel and all the American youth turning against Israel, that's just fulfillment of a prophecy. It's not because Israel's done anything wrong. It's not because they are literally worse than the Nazis in like 1,000 different ways. It's because this is all part of God's plan and we have to back them to the hilt, because they almost want Israel to be destroyed because they think that they're fulfilling a prophecy. I don't know how much that, you know, impacts what's actually going on in Israel, but I found this sort of breakdown of it extremely interesting. It's from a YouTube channel called Predictive History. And one of the reasons I'm hedging this is apparently this guy's some sort of, you know, dumbass communist. But hey, a lot of people are these days. And at least in the segment that I'm about to show you, I think he's pretty much on the money. Let's go to clip number 13. This is Predictive History. And he's talking about the death of Charlie Kirk. Again, I don't know if Israel killed Charlie Kirk, but he's basically saying that it would fall perfectly in line with Israel's trajectory and the way that they're behaving themselves on the world stage. Let's watch.
Fast cancer, right? We have the technology to do this. So Israel could do it this secretly and no one would talk about it. And in 20 years time, 30 years time, the population of Gaza would all be gone. It would be a very secret, right? Instead, they choose to do this in front of the world. And my argument to you is that this is intentional. They want the world to hate them, because by doing this, they create the ultimate taboo, right? We find this disgusting and contemptuous, so the entire world will unite against Israel. But guess what? That's what their religion wants. In the extreme form of Jewish eschatology, or the religion, they believe that at the end of the world, Israel will fight the entire world, and God will help Israel triumph in the end. So what's really happening in Gaza is that there are extremists within the Israel government who want to accelerate the process of the end of the world, where Israel will face the world. And if you think about it, the entire idea of this ritual sacrifice is to unite the Israeli population. And what's extremely disturbing and horrifying about it is that this works. Why? Well, let's use an analogy, okay? The analogy is this. In Chinese history, the most popular military stratagem is to fight with a river behind your back. You guys have heard of this strategy, right? Where, okay, an army is losing, okay? It's being scattered by the enemy. So what the general does is forces the army to retreat to a river. And now with a river blocking your escape, you have a choice. You can either drown in the river or you can fight to the death. And most soldiers will choose to fight to the death. And so at this point, the soldiers are unified. They're galvanized. They're energized. And then they find a surge of energy to go and destroy their enemy. Okay, this is the most popular military stratagem in ancient Chinese history. And guess what? It's the same as Israel doing this right now in Gaza. It's the same logic.
And so I posted that video on X, and I had some responses from, people I respect, like Andrew Meyer, who, you know, just sort of like, you know, put a gif of, you know, Alex with the tinfoil hat in his head and was like, that's crazy. But it's like, okay, but it is true though. This is what's happening. See, Israel behaves abominably, totally brutally. The videos come out. I mean, it's horrific. I got more from like earlier today. Do we want to watch more clip four here? We can roll as B-roll. I mean, we could hear the noise. Do you want to hear, you know, women and babies screaming as bombs go off? I mean, do you want to see what's happening today in Gaza? What's going on with these families and the children clutching their head and screaming as bombs rock the very building that they're in? I mean, so they do this constantly for 2 years, right? Every time a video like this comes out, what's going to happen? People are going to turn against Israel. Even people that were diehard pro-Israelis, we're seeing them in public now. You know, Megyn Kelly, Charlie Kirk, Tucker Carlson, these people who used to defend Israel. After what they are doing, because of their behavior and the choices they make, people turn against Israel. So then they go out and criticize Israel. You've got the ADL and these other groups conflating anti-Israel sentiment with anti-Semitic content. So then they take the anti-Israel stuff because of Israel's behavior. People get mad at Israel. They speak out against Israel. The Jewish groups say that's anti-Semitism. And then they go to all their, you know, Jewish followers and say, hey, America is super anti-Semitic. It's not safe here anymore, right? Everybody in America hates you. Israel's your only hope. Israel's your only protection. You have to support Israel with everything you've got. And so they drive Jewish people, especially in America, closer to Israel, you know, because that's the safety net. So that is what happens, right? I mean, you can, you know, whether this has to do with the end times, whether this is a deliberate strategy or just, you know, they're just being brutal anyway, and this is just what happens. It doesn't really matter. This is what happens. This is what is happening right now. Benjamin Netanyahu is, and his entire government is bombing people in the most brutal way you can possibly imagine. People are outraged by that. They flip that around, transmute it into anti-Semitism, and then use that to, you know, scare the crap out of Jewish Americans who are now convinced, you know, the next Holocaust is around the corner. And so they need Israel more than they ever have before. This is such a cynical and brutal way to oppress people, and that is what it is, but it's also obvious and you can break out of it. So again, this is why we always say anti-Semitism is really a two-pronged attack. Yes, it keeps people from speaking out against what Israel's doing or the Israeli control of our government. Like, yes, it crushes non-Jewish people because you claim that even innocuous statements are actually hate and you have to shut up. Yeah, that's how you control non-Jewish people, but it also controls Jewish people because then you spike up anti-Semitism as much as you possibly can. You claim things that aren't anti-Semitism are, and then you rise that number and you scare the crap out of Jewish people in America and go, oh, you don't trust anybody around you. They all hate you. They're going to do a Holocaust. You got to come with us. We're the only ones who can protect you. I mean, it's, again, cynical and brutal, but that's the way that it works. And you can break out of this by simply recognizing it and refusing to participate. And I hope we all make that choice. So then we get to the eighth front of this so-called war, which is, of course, the American people and the American media and the American landscape and the moves being made to conquer this. And they already have to a very large degree, but it's also not going super well for them. And in fact, this is what I think both, you know, Israel's probably the most scared of. This is also the tactic that I have, you know, called for years at this point. And I even have a video, maybe we'll play it in the first five of the next hour, I'm not sure, but it's from 2 years ago, it's from 2023, where I'm reading an ADL article and I just replaced the word white with Jewish. Just to point out that, yes, the ADL is a hate group. It is clearly a hate group. And what they say about white people would obviously be considered anti-Semitic if they said it about Jewish people. Just making a point that everybody seems to be recognizing now, yeah, it's the ADL is bad. They are a hate group, and they're not working for anybody's benefit. I'm wondering which one I should go to. Which one I should go to exactly, because, again, I've got but I'll go to that one in the next one. But clip number eight here, Netanyahu, this is his mission brief for American influencers who are operating as, you know, Israeli agents. And it's almost pathetic that this is who they've got. Oh, no, I know. I remember what I was going to do. Because I don't know anything about this guy, Garland Gilchrist. I don't know if he's left. I don't know if he's right. I don't know where he's running. I don't know. All I know is that he is a politician running for office, and he put out a campaign video with the title, I will never take a cent from AIPAC. This is the way we get Israeli influence out of our government. This is the easiest and most effective way, I think. You literally make association with organizations like AIPAC kryptonite, poison to a campaign. You let people know we will support you to the hilt as long as you don't take foreign money. So again, I don't know anything about this guy, but imagine the panic that this type of video is causing in Israeli circles these days. Clip number three.
The Netanyahu government is committing a genocide on the Palestinian people.
Massive cheers.
This is not a matter of opinion. This is a matter of fact. This has been established by the global leaders who study genocide. This is not something that we should support. American taxpayer dollars should not fund offensive weapons of war while children are starving, while medical resources are being blocked to civilians,
and while lineages of families are being erased. And look, candidates should not accept money from those who support the genocide. And that is why, as a candidate for governor of the state of Michigan, I will not accept money from AIPAC.
So, okay, so he's running for governor of Michigan. You know, if I had to guess, he's probably on the left. Because here's the thing. That is such a genius political move in America these days. I don't know anything about the guy, but I like that. That's one thing I can count on him for. Now think about this. The left wing is embracing the anti-Israel movement. Now they're doing it way too far. Obviously, half of them are literally like Hamas terrorists and they hate Israel in exactly the same way and for exactly the same reasons they hate America. So I'm not throwing my hat in with them exactly, but are we not giving up this battle? Like, okay, so the left wing is embracing the anti-Israel movement. We know that the vast majority of people in America alone, the vast, just entirety of the youth are against Israel. So it's going to be increasingly important moving forward. The left wing is embracing that and is now coming out and proudly declaring, I refuse to take money from AIPAC and receiving, you know, massive support in response to that. Meanwhile, Mike Johnson is meeting with a bunch of rabbis to promise that everybody in the Republican Party from now on will have Israel as their first and highest priority. Is that a smart move moving forward? Is that an intelligent decision for a Republican Party that wants to be elected in the future? Or is that the Republican Party basically agreeing to have this albatross around our neck, this anchor around our neck as we try to swim? I mean, why would we agree to this? We're being screwed over. We're being completely screwed over. And our leadership is going along with this for reasons that I can't begin to comprehend. You saw it at TPUSA. When Tucker Carlson called out Israel, it was the biggest cheer of the night. Everybody's moving away from Israel because they're bad for America in every possible way. They're the ones supporting censorship. They're the ones dragging us into these foreign wars. And for some godforsaken reason, the Republican Party is slobbering at their feet and begging them to abuse us further. It is sick, but even more important than that, it's retarded. In the future, Republicans are going to lose everything because of our senseless support of Israel. Why? Why are we tying ourselves even closer to this country when the left realizes breaking away from AIPAC is the way you win? It's insane. We'll be back on the other side with more.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I didn't know he was taking our ultramethylene blue, so I said, oh, with all our guests, we asked him to take it. And you just gave me your brief testimony, so I would look, because I mean, this isn't BS. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. takes it. It's good for your cells. If you're on SSRIs, you can't take it. It's very serious. We have the strongest, and it funds this operation. You want to get it at theolivestonestore.com. Medical grade, USP grade, the best. Ultramethylene blue. So you sort of give me your testimony saying you love it. I said, hold on. I don't want to know. I want you to tell people on air, William. So when did you get it? What was the effect?
So I've been a health nut, people call me, all my life.
Well, you look super young for your age. So.
And so I thank God that I've been healthy. And when I take most supplements, a lot of people say, oh, you'll feel, you know, this big surge. And normally I don't. I just think, okay, I'm doing something right for my body and for my brain. And with methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy. It helps me... I keep a lot of late hours. I'm talking to people over in Europe or over in other continents, and so my biorhythms get all messed up, and so it really helps me with my sleep. And
well, and be honest though, because you're saying your doctors, others told you to do it, just like mine did 6 years ago. I got it, USP, didn't really have the effect. My wife liked it, so she's been on it. We tried different brands. This one, I'm not trying to differentiate, it's just true, it's been way stronger for me. If you do have other brands you took that are as good or better, I want to know, because there's something better, we'll go with them.
I haven't found anything better.
Now, back to our program.
The idea that you could turn the clock back and try to recreate a world that never was, dominated by, you know, let's say it, white men of a certain persuasion, a certain religion, a certain point of view, a certain ideology, is just doing such damage to what we should be aiming for. And we were on the path toward that.
This is the next step forward. They made Charlie Kirk a martyr to justify this type of behavior. They're blaming everything in America on the radical left lunatics. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to answer this call to action. We need to mobilize veterans nationwide to organize in our community.
A Sunday morning service turning to horror when police say a man armed with an assault rifle opened fire inside a church in Grand Blanc Township, Michigan.
We have an active shooter at the church. I need manpower up here ASAP. I have people trapped in the building. Repeat, people trapped in the building. We got children inside too.
That frantic 911 call alerting police to an active shooter at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, about 55 miles northwest of Detroit.
It's a very sad day. America's gone insane. 2 days in a row. Military veterans, one in a boat opens up on an outdoor fish restaurant in North Carolina. Today, a Mormon church, Iraq war vet, pickup truck, flags, burns a Mormon church and sets it on, shoots people in the church? How much more can any of us take?
In the United States, attacks on Christians and Christian institutions have surged, with the Family Research Council documenting 485 hostile incidents against churches, 143% increase from 2022, including vandalism, arson, and physical assaults. The FBI's 2023 hate crime statistics reported 1,158 anti-Christian incidents, a 37% rise from the previous year, with assaults and harassment targeting worshipers.
The fact that this issue has not gotten on people's radar.
Right, no one's talking about it.
It's pretty amazing. If you don't know what's going on in Nigeria, mm-hmm. your media sources suck. You are in a bubble. And again, I'm not a Christian, but they are systematically yep. killing the Christians in Nigeria. They've killed over 100,000 since 2009. They've burned 18,000 churches. This is so much more. These are their Islamists, Boko mm-hmm. Haram. This is so much more of a genocide attempt yeah. than what is going on in Gaza. They are literally attempting to wipe out the Christian population of an entire country. Where are the kids protesting this?
Near total media blackout has obscured the mass murder of Christians overseas, with mainstream outlets like CNN and BBC largely ignoring the systematic genocide unfolding in regions like the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Nigeria, Syria, and Burkina Faso. These incidents contributed to 40,000 Christian deaths from 2021 to 2025.
It is targeted and is a systemic plan to wipe out the Christians in this country.
In recent years, Christians in Europe have faced a disturbing escalation in targeted attacks and hate crimes. France emerged as the epicenter, accounting for nearly 1,000 cases, roughly 41% of the European total, predominantly vandalism and arson against churches and cemeteries. Arson surging over 30% in 2024. In the United Kingdom, incidents climbed above 700, while Germany reported a 105% rise to 277 crimes, underscoring a broader trend of intolerance amid rising secularism and cultural tensions that has left at least 2,000 Christian places of worship damaged continent-wide.
We must fight fire with fire.
If you want a Democrat that's going to call people Nazis or fascists or all these kinds of things, well, I'm not going to be that guy. You know, independent thinking and views wherever I happen to believe the truth.
You see fires sort of as far as the eye can see, a landscape ablaze. That's where the Christians used to live. They probably won't be there for that much longer. Clip number two, we can go right into that. This is, again, the Christian population in Syria has been decimated. Used to be 3 million before we got involved.
This growing hostility, coupled with cultural shifts marginalizing religious expression, is awakening an old battleground that has plagued civilization throughout history. John Bound, reporting for InfoWars.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, it's jonestar.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while...
if you don't mind, I have a bottle that fills too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here. In lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. Second hour is on, and I'm joined in studio by the one and only Rex Jones. We still got a lot to talk about, a lot of videos to get to, but I asked Rex to sit in, sort of co-host with me the second hour, then we'll take calls in the third hour, because I really want to hear from people out there. How you doing, Rex?
Doing phenomenal. It's always wonderful to be on, and thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. I'm just, like, my brain is on fire with everything going on right now. I mean, it's like we don't even have time to deal with the mass shootings at churches over the weekend. I haven't even mentioned that.
Like, well, it's a new horror every day, you know?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And it seems like everything's moving so much more rapidly. I want to get into like digital ID when it comes to the UK, but I also really want to get into, I guess you call it censorship, but basically control of the American media landscape, and especially how that ties into what we were covering in the first hour, which is the sort of desperation for Israel that Israel is experiencing right now as it sees the whole world turn against it. They're really desperate to win on this so-called Eighth Front, which is, of course, the minds of the American
people. War. Wow, the info who came war. Up with that? You
Gee,
know?
Who could have known? Who right. could have known that this would be the central thing to be concerned about? So WikiLeaks has this post on X. Israeli-aligned billionaires seize TikTok in battle for U.S. narrative control. The White House announced that the forced sale of TikTok will be finalized this week. The new ownership led by Larry Ellison, the largest individual donor to the IDF, and it will take control of U.S. user data and the algorithm, which the White House says will be retrained. Ellison, who made his fortune developing Oracle, a database system he originally built for the CIA, already controls CBS, Paramount, MTV, Comedy Central, Showtime, Nickelodeon, and it goes on and on
well,
and on.
Well, there's no problem with that. You know, the interesting thing about Larry Ellison and all these billionaires, they have their unique flavors and whatnot. He's the 80-year-old that's made himself look like 40 or 50 through, like, plastic surgery and
is
hair
that
dye.
What it is?
Yeah, yeah. If you look at him, you know, he looks kind of like a younger guy, you know, like middle-aged guy, but he's ancient.
I did not know that. Well, he is clearly, you know, the central figure in so much of this. But obviously Netanyahu is holding these meetings with these, you know, TikTok influencers. And I was sort of mocking him. Obviously they're taking this seriously, but it's almost like Israel has gone from like total media domination to now they're meeting with this gaggle of nobodies. I mean, it's like the only person I've heard of on the list is Emily Saves America. And I only know about her because people criticize her for being such an Israel shill already. So, Netanyahu's meeting with these people. Have you seen this video?
I believe so. The one you're going to refer to where he's talking about the Eighth Front?
Yeah, and yeah. he's talking about, you know, how important all of this is. Well, let's go to this and review it for people. Clip number 8. This is Netanyahu's mission brief. He's mission briefing American influencers about how to dominate TikTok and lie on behalf of Israel. Let's watch.
Christian influencers. Okay. You said, we talked about the woke right. And you said, I call it the woke Reich. That's a brilliant.
That's good.
The woke Reich. Because these people,
so clever. You know,
they're not any different from the woke left. I mean, they're insane. They're mm-hmm. lunatics.
Yes, anyone that doesn't like me or Israel is woke.
And they're insane.
And what we have to
they can't be reasoned
is
with.
We have to secure that part of the base of our support in the United States. That is being challenged mm-hmm. systematically. A lot of this is done with money.
money of NGOs.
I do it for free.
Money of
government. It's all Qatar. It's all Qatari funding. This is what we hear.
We have to fight back. How do we fight back? Our influencers. I think you should also talk to them if you have a chance. To that,
our influencers. Just think about how dark that is. That phrase.
Secondly, we're going to have to use the tools of battle. You know, the weapons change over time. You can't fight today with swords. That doesn't work very well. Okay. And you can't fight with cavalry. That doesn't work very well. And you have these new things, you know, like drones, things like that. I won't get into that. But we have to fight with the weapons that apply to the battlefields in which we're engaged. And the most important ones are on social media. And the most important purchase that is going on right now is class.
See, he's their teacher.
TikTok. TikTok, number one. And I hope it goes through because it's it can be consequential. Mm-hmm. And the other one, what's the other one that's most important?
X.
Exactly.
That's very good. Yes.
And, you know, so we have to talk to Elon. He's not an enemy. He's a friend. We should talk to him. Now, if we can get those two things, we get a lot. And I could go on other things, but that's not the point right now.
Elon's been pretty vocal about being against the ADL and stuff like that.
Right, and they've forced him to go and, you know, kiss the wall and you know, go to the Auschwitz tour and apologize for, you know, letting people speak freely. You know, hopefully we can trust Elon to stand up to this pressure. But to me, the sort of shocking thing is how never once is this treated as if there's anything Israel could do to stop people hating them. It's always just, how do we control the message? How do we control people's mind? How do we control people interpreting what we're doing? But it never even enters into the conversation like, hey, if Israel wasn't deliberately committing a genocide, nobody would hate them or be against them.
I mean, ultimately, you have to counteract all the videos of the dead kids.
Right.
The bombs and the explosions and the crying and the starvation. So I guess you get like attractive looking like female American influencers to like call people idiots if they believe that what in fact they see is happening in front of their eyes is actually happening.
Yeah.
I think that's the strategy here. And, you know, Dane Abbey had a shot at doing this like a year ago, a little longer than that even. But now, I mean, we're just inundated on our feeds all day, every day of the stuff that's actually happening in Gaza. And you can't claim that it's AI. You can't claim that it's fake because it's happening real in live time. You know, an interesting thing that Bibi said during his White House – or not White House – during his address to the UN was, my speech is currently being live streamed to all the phones of the people in Gaza. This is something that he said at the UN.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did. So you have this much control over this tiny little area that you're bombing, that you're starving the people in, and you're doing like psychological warfare operations on them. You're playing your speech on loudspeakers. I'm sure you saw this.
Yep.
And on the cell phones. It's just this atmosphere of, oh, you know, we just need a little more time to deal with Hamas, deal with Hamas, deal with Hamas. They've been dealing with Hamas, quote unquote, for like 2 years. And they have been afraid to lose their own people. They haven't sent the troops in, so they just indiscriminately bomb. They won't even fight the war for real.
Yeah.
So it's just – it's a weird, sick situation.
Well, it is. And again, it's like understanding that the way they see the, you know, population going against them is just like all they see is this explosion of like weird, pointless hate. Somebody must be paying for it, right? Somebody must be paying people to do that. Nobody's paying people to do that. Maybe somebody is, but you don't need to. I'll be against Israel for absolutely free. In fact, it's, you know, kind of a threat to my job, but like, I'll just keep doing it for as long as, you know, Israel is doing this evil stuff. And thank God for Alex Jones, you know, allowing me to use this platform to, again, pursue truth and justice and reality in the face of all of these lies. Because again, I got nothing but love for the Jewish people, nothing but love for the Israeli people. The Israeli government is acting insane, and they're dragging you all along with them. Don't let them. You don't have to let them.
And let's keep in mind, this is all about Netanyahu avoiding prosecution for the crimes that he's committed, for the financial crimes that he's committed. This is all about him having an emergency government and a mandate to lead. This isn't some big noble thing about him, you know, even wanting the best for Israel. He wants the worst for Israel. How else can you explain this kind of behavior? It's all about him staying in perpetual war, so he is the wartime leader. I mean, where else but Putin can you point at someone that's been in power for like over 20 years?
Well, not that. I was going to say Zelensky. Who else could you?
Yes, I'm a big Ukrainian man and a nuclear weapon.
Well, no, but he said he'll leave office once the war ends, right? Kind of just like Bibi. Oh, we can do the court cases just, you know, as soon as the war ends that I'm going to perpetuate as long as I need to. So I want to go to some more of these videos to, again, just sort of get across, like, the way that the battle, the information battlefield is being thought about by these people, including people like Jonathan Greenblatt of the ADL, clip number 53 here. Here's him saying that we've stopped playing defense and now we're on the offense. They're on the offense. Well, great. How's that working out for you? Let's watch.
We stopped playing defense and have moved to offense.
Censorship.
You see this in our focus on the courts. In the past 12 months,
we got more money, so we just sue everybody. We always win.
Than the prior 112 years against extremist groups, elite universities, public companies, school districts, and state sponsors of terror. We've launched innovative products to intercept anti-Semitism before it takes root, whether in the boardroom or in chat rooms. Large language models or academic associations in Wikipedia entries or WhatsApp chats. This work matters, not just for the Jewish people, but for all of society.
For all of society. He's doing it for us, folks. He's censoring and silencing us and watching our WhatsApp chats and using AI and suing universities. It's for all of us, of course. Any comment on that for you?
Well, I mean, it's hilarious for these people to call anyone an extremist, considering what they do is serve a theocracy, right, in the Middle East. And that's always the critique, right, is radical Islam, which I agree is dangerous and a huge threat. But these people are cut from the same cloth.
It's radicalism by any other name. It's another form of extremism.
It's just a theocracy. It's a religious government, right? And they operate off of, you know, their interpretation of a religious text that says that they were promised all of this 3,000 years ago.
Yeah, and it's, in many ways has all the characteristics of a death cult. But, you know, he mentions talking, you know, universities, taking over universities, suing them to demand compliance. How does that look? Well, let's go to clip number 16 here, because university students or potential university students at Northwestern University are not allowed to go to the university unless they pledge loyalty to Israel or at least, you know, absorb and agree with their propaganda. Let's watch.
So 300 students are being barred from registering for courses at Northwestern University because they refused to take an anti-Semitism course that was just like pro-Israeli propaganda. But it's so crazy that like you're not going to hear anything about this from the Make America Great Again party, the Trump supporters. Like if you don't pledge allegiance to Israel, you're not going to college. Could you imagine if this was like, if you didn't take like a trans rights course or like a trans sensitivity course or something, you would hear nonstop on Fox News, right? We'd hear about this for months.
Well, I think that's a key point right there. You know, it touches on the nature of the issue. Ultimately, when we become involved in these foreign conflicts and we start serving these foreign nations, I mean, I believed that having the Republicans back in charge was something that would be very good for the country. And I was very excited. I was so happy the night that Trump got elected again. I was like, yes, this is what we need. Things are going to be better. But we're just dooming ourselves to lose more elections and get more extreme election after election after election, because it's the same thing, right? I mean, people rebelled against the crazy, you know, like trans rights stuff. They rebelled against, you know, the immigration policy of the Biden era. But we're just doing the same thing again here. Like, this is another extremist position, and they pretend that it's moderate. They wear the yellow pen and they're all dressed nice, and like they go, ha 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 ha, the woke Reich, ha 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 ha, when inside they're like, kill all the Palestinians, murder them now so we can take the land.
Yeah,
like it's the same thing, right? It's extremism there and it's extremism here. And ultimately, the conservative position is honestly a moderate one. We just want peace for ourselves, peace for our families, prosperity for the country, and, you know, for our family, our church, our nation. That's what we all want. It's not, oh, we got to make more missiles because they just used them all.
Yeah.
The position of us now, which really makes me sad.
And, you know, you think about even if they, you know, showed it was like you have to watch pro-American propaganda to sign up for courses. Like, one, that would obviously never happen because, you know, our universities are completely controlled and not American. But it would be absurd if that was the case. But it's not. It's for a foreign state. So, it, you know, the absurdity, you know, reaches
more
insane levels.
Yeah, I guess you can do it if it's not the U.S., right?
If it's Israel, you can do it. I mean,
do people still pledge allegiance to the flag?
I do every morning. I don't know if
do they
do or
still
not.
Do that though. I genuinely don't know. I remember being a thing in elementary school.
I know some teachers, put the pride flag up.
But and that's hate speech, you see.
Well, apparently so. So again, I'm so glad more people are coming out against the ADL now. And we've been like railing against the ADL forever. But I want to really like emphasize this. Let's go to clip number 54 here. This is Jonathan Greenblatt, CEO of ADL, talking about Christianity. And I don't know if I've ever heard, anybody talk about Christianity like this. It is so outrageously offensive. Here's Jonathan Greenblatt talking about the religion of the majority of the people in the United States. Let's watch.
Anti-Semitism is a bit of like a virus. And like some viruses, it exists in the kind of body politic and it's dormant, like chickenpox. Mm-hmm. You get chickenpox as a young person, and then after the kind of inflammation subsides, it's still in you. And it can manifest again when you're older because of stress or age as shingles. Although you can get inoculated and you can prevent that from happening. So I think anti-Semitism is similar. It's like
fantasizing
this contagion.
About the vaccines, even
it's
in the analogy.
As old yep. as time, right? We face it for thousands of years. First it was, after the death of Christ, there were these accusations that the Jews killed Christ. And that the Jews weren't a real religion because we didn't accept Christ and then we didn't accept Muhammad. So you have this, you know, the Jewish religion isn't legitimate, and that was the basis for the Crusades, and which is at Tisha B'Av, which, you know, remembers the expulsion. We had Inquisitions. We had all these horrible things. And then, after the Age of Reason, it was, well, maybe, and you know, they realized that the sun doesn't revolve around the earth, and the earth isn't flat. Then it was, okay, well, maybe Judaism is okay as a religion, but it's the Jewish race that isn't legitimate. And then we saw kind of anti-Semitism metastasize into this kind of race-based form of hate, which of course exploded with the Shoah. And then after the tragedy of that, the injustice of that was exposed, people then said, well, it's not that their religion is illegitimate or their race is illegitimate. Now it's the Jewish state that's illegitimate. And we see that now in the form of anti-Zionism, which is anti-Semitism.
Mm. So the conflation here is that Zionism equals Judaism, and you can look at all these kind of like these Hasidics in New York and whatnot that are super against what these people are doing, and I've been against it since the start with the genocide and whatnot, and they don't view Israel as legitimate. Israel is a British project at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So to claim that something that is, you know, younger than some of my living grandparents is in fact, you know, this ancient thing that's tied to the history, to the root of Jews, like the Jewish diaspora, it was AD 79 when Titus sacked Rome. All right. And they went everywhere and they did their thing and whatnot and good, bad, you name it, whatever. They haven't been there in quite some time. So for the British government to go, okay, we have all these European Jews and we're not going to take them. A European country isn't going to take them. Certainly Germany's not going to take them. We're just going to send them back to this area where there's a native population of Muslims, but also Jews already living there. And then you got these European Jews that kind of descend upon that area. They take it over. They declare war on everyone there and they start taking more and more land. So for Greenblatt to say, this is some, anti-Semitic myth that the Jews killed Christ. Well, I mean, Pilate tried to free Christ 7 times.
I mean,
I can find no fault in this
Gospels.
Man.
Well, and this is the thing is what he's doing there is he's conflating Christianity with hate. And the video for our radio listeners, the whole time it's up there is the ADL designation of Christian identity as a example of extremism, hate, or terrorism. That's official from the ADL. Representative Anna Paulina Luna called them out for this, saying this is wrong. You're intentionally creating a targeted hate campaign against Christians. And in fact, the day after the church was shot up, it was Jonathan Greenblatt himself who came out to say, quote, the Christian identity movement is an anti-Semitic, racist, and unambiguously poisonous ideology. The day after a church shooting happened, he's demonizing Christians, calling them poisonous, calling the ideology poisonous. So he's conflating Christianity with a form of hate and trying to push that, and then pathologizing anti-Semitism by connecting it to things 2,000 years ago, as if the outrage about Israel has nothing to do with what's happening right now on the ground, the videos that we're seeing.
You know, there's an interesting flip side to all this, which is like the Scofield Bible stuff and the rapture stuff and where that all comes out of, you know, really just like determining at the time that became popular that, yes, in fact, the biblical Israel is in fact this new place that was created. It's not in fact the church or the body of Christ as it's actually referred to in the Bible post in the New Testament. But they have this idea of, oh, Christianity's evil. They say we killed Jesus, whatever. But then their biggest supporters and the reason why they have all this political power, this political clout in the U.S. are the older evangelicals who love them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like slapping around the people that they like based with, on this designation, and they're coming after everyone else. And ultimately, yeah, like, you don't get to dictate what people believe at the end of the day. You can't just declare something, you know, extremism, hate, or terrorism, but they do this with everything.
Yeah.
Right? It's what they do.
And again, you know, it's like, this is what freedom of religion means. When you talk about freedom of religion as guaranteed as one of the five freedoms in the First Amendment, it is the same freedom that guarantees Jews the right to worship in this country as it guarantees anybody else criticizing anything they want about Judaism. That is right. What it's for, actually. How do you think churches would use the power of the state? Would they use it to force people to be good Christians? Maybe, but they would really use it to force people to shut up about what they were doing.
And they got secular Jews in Israel, and they got Orthodox and got ultra Orthodox, right? They got these three different classifications. Why is the U.S. government being run on ultra Orthodox Judaism? Not even Orthodox, not even the secular Jews that live there. We are running off of the Likud party handbook.
Right.
Like, Netanyahu is an extreme political figure. Yeah. He's incredibly unpopular, but this is the guy that speaks for all Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Self-appointed Jewish overlords. That's what I've called them for years, because nobody granted them power. They just assumed it themselves. That's why I used to always, whenever I refer to Jonathan Greenblatt, just call him a random name that I just made up, because who the hell is this guy?
Right. I mean,
might as well be some guy named
Mike. Look at Netanyahu's UN speech. He's channeling Moses. He goes, "Let my people go." Like, who are you, bro? Like, you have the right to say that? Shouldn't that be blasphemous even in his culture?
I mean, you would think, but you know, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah in the Old Testament, and Tel Aviv's the gayest city on earth now. So I don't know if the Old Testament actually has that big of an impact to the current state of the Jewish nation. But the really scary thing is the ADLs, we've reported forever. I mean, they train the FBI, and they're working behind the scenes as we speak with the current administration to bring about censorship of them and, you know, their foreign state. So let's go to clip number 57 here. This is the official White House liaison to the Jewish community, because apparently they have one of those. He's at the Jewish News Syndicate conference talking about, you know, how committed to this Trump really is. Let's watch.
It's one of the greatest honors to serve in President Trump's administration, who he is one of the greatest friends of Israel that has been in the White House, and I would go so far as to say he has been, in terms of an administration, one of the greatest friends of the Jewish people since Darius the Great. There is a commitment, and part of what I'm talking about now is behind the scenes. This isn't something public. I very rarely publicly speak, and it's thanks to Alex and the JNS team that I'm even here this evening. I'm leaving in half an hour to go back to D.C., as you can imagine.
Okay, so that's the White House liaison to the Jewish community. Again, who is he to represent the entire diaspora of Jews? But regardless, he's like, this isn't public, but behind the scenes, there's a very big commitment to serving us. So thank you for telling us that. Maybe you shouldn't talk in public quite so much if you want to keep all this stuff going. Let's go to clip number 61 here. This is Tucker Carlson talking again about how this influence is being wielded.
Oh, it's a betrayal. How profound a betrayal? Listen to Congressman Don Bacon of Nebraska, a former Air Force general, describe who he's been talking to about censorship.
And I appreciate Jonathan Greenblatt, what Bacon. Gentleman does ADL stands for.
That's not allowed.
I know you've made us better with your feedback and ideas and recommendations, and it's been a treat to get to know you. We want to be in a country that makes clear that anti-Semitism or any kind of racism is repugnant, unacceptable, not allowed in my space.
And look at this psycho looking at him, like, pace back and forth.
So
looking at him, like, hump the air, like Brian Stelter.
It's ridiculous. And why are Republicans the ones who are so suicidally dedicated to serving people that hate them? The ADL hates you. The ADL puts Turning Point USA as a hate group. And yet the ADL is dictating the actions of Republican politicians. And it's Republicans that are forcing universities to do a, purity test before they allow students to, enroll by pledging their allegiance to Israel. They're using the Republican Party, and they're gonna destroy it if we don't break free. Because we're actually the ones that support free speech. We should seize that claim once again. We'll be back on the other side.
We're not funded by anybody but you. So I'm gonna bring you products that are absolutely amazing and will change your life. We have the best ultramethylene blue, medical grade, at thealexjonesstore.com. You've seen Kennedy taking it. Everybody, my medical doctor almost 7 years ago said, get USP medical grade methylene blue. And it cleans out your mitochondria, gives you all this energy. So good for your brain. It's looking for your stamina, libido, energy, focus. And I took it and didn't really feel it. My wife liked it, kept ordering different brands of it. Then we got the stuff that our sponsor was putting out, because I always have them get the top rated. They said, oh, we got a medical lab. They've never even put it out as a supplement before. It's what they use in surgeries. It's the very best. We've got it. The crew starts taking it, going crazy. They say, this is so much energy. This is so good. Within 15, 20 minutes, I've given it to like 500 people. Only two of them didn't feel it. But it's the long-term effects you really feel. Sean Johnson, you know, Navy SEAL buddy of mine, I work with every day. He literally says he's never felt better. Injuries he had don't even hurt anymore. You've heard the rave reviews. Get yours now at theoliveshowstore.com, because here's the news flash. You wanted it. We did it in a limited supply. Today the deal ends. Buy one bottle of the capsules or the liquid, and you get another bottle free right now. Also, if you sign up for AutoShip as a subscriber, you can cancel any time for free. It locks it in forever as long as you're a subscriber at 50% off if you're a subscriber. Also, anybody buying anything, the t-shirts, all the great stuff, the ball caps, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, the supplements, become a VIP, just like being at Amazon Prime. $30 a month. You get $40 to spend in the store instantly as credit. Special deals, special offers, special sales on top of everything. So anybody that's going to buy anything at theoliveshowstore.com at checkout, let's say you're buying a $30 t-shirt or whatever. All right, you then click to be a VIP, and now the t-shirt is free, and you get an extra $10. You see how that works? Everybody should be a VIP, and then you know you're supporting us. I don't own theoliveshowstore.com, so they're successful. This Friday, they're trying to get the federal court to shut us down again. We got the backup network because of them, and they can't take it over because I don't own theoliveshowstore.com. It is, give them an overhead shot. It is so critical. I don't even talk about ourselves anymore. We're under so much attack. Just pray for us. But that's what's going on. That's the battles that are happening. That is the reality of this. So I need your support now at thealexjonesstore.com. And there are so many other great supplements there as well. We have the best bovine colostrum. We have the very best spike protein detox, cardiovascular booster, ultimate life force. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So it's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. Looks great.
You find it all at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Navigating the maze of mainstream narratives, Harrison Smith finds the hidden paths in the war room.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm here with Rex Jones. I didn't even give out your Twitter last time. You can follow Rex on Twitter at Rex Jones News with a Z. And I encourage you to do that. And you're starting up shows and doing your own podcasts and
stuff. That's right. We got a show. We got The Gray Area. And you'll find that linked in my profile on Twitter. Please go follow me on X. I'd really appreciate it. Check out the shows I'm doing. If you're interested, cool. Watch the whole thing. If you're not, do me a big favor. Here's a big secret. All you got to do is subscribe and watch 30 seconds of the video. I get a view and I love you forever.
There you go. It's as simple as that. Honestly, that is the easiest and best way to support us. Just share our stuff.
Right.
Clip it out yourself. Put it up. Share
it. It's all free to air. You own it forever. That's how this all works.
100%. And thank you for everybody who does that. And of course, it was an extra big thank you for everybody that goes to thealexjonesstore.com. Today is your last day to get 2-for-1 with Methylene Blue, either the capsules or the tincture, whichever one you purchase, you get a second one for free. 2-for-1 ends today. You only have a few hours left. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Buy one, get one free on the Ultra Methylene Blue. It's the mega sale. TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps us on the air in the fight and keeps you fully supplied with all the Methylene Blue you could ever need.
Get those mitochondria firing. Get them up and running good.
And if you sign up for the VIP club, you get even more discounts. But I'm trying to today talk about these three seemingly distinct topics: the geopolitical reality of Israel, the censorship coming down on America, and the UK digital ID. And we'll get to that in just a second. We'll tie all three of these together, I think, right now, because all of them are being perpetuated by the same very small group of people that include Larry Ellison, that includes the ADL, that includes George Soros even, as they are the ones who are pushing censorship right now more than anybody. They're also the ones that are actually behind the digital ID. And this is where it really, like, is bizarre, is that today you've got Trump announcing this Board of Peace, which is, in fact, something that has been announced for a little while, which is a transitional government. It will be an international control apparatus over Gaza that Tony Blair is supposed to be the head of. Mm-hmm. And Tony Blair has a son who's running the UK digital ID app that's just been implemented. So Multiverse, the company chosen to produce UK's digital ID app, was founded by Ewan Blair, the son of former Labour MP Tony Blair. He happens to get the contract for this digital ID. And we'll get into just how serious this digital ID threat is in just a second. But now let's go to a video 58. This is Max Blumenthal just laying out who Larry Ellison is and how he is coming to dominate the American media landscape and for what purpose. Let's watch.
Another relationship that I think is interesting to watch right now, relating to Gaza and relating to the future of our media, is the relationship between Tony Blair and Larry Ellison. Larry Ellison has contributed close to $300 million to the Tony Blair Institute. He's turned it into like the Oracle Institute. So Tony Blair's the lobbyist for all of the techno solutions of Larry Ellison, which include like his data centers being hubs for mass surveillance, digital ID. Tony Blair's been pushing that since the COVID era, and now they're implementing it in the UK to further their control. They just detained George Galloway at the airport. This is an authoritarian regime there. And Tony Blair is set to take over Gaza. He's vying to be the administrator of Gaza after the day after Hamas is formally removed. And if you combine that with the plan that's on the table for the so-called Gaza Riviera, where ethnically cleansed war refugees are given a token, a digital token in exchange for their homes, then placed in biometric refugee camps, then given crypto to basically go abroad forever, you can see where this all fits in. Tony Blair is going to oversee a consortium of tech companies to carry out the final solution of the Holocaust in Gaza. It's all, and what else is Larry Ellison doing? Well, he's taking over TikTok. Netanyahu said yesterday in a meeting with influencers, we have to buy TikTok to stop young people from learning about Palestine and seeing pictures of all the kids I shred every day. And Larry Ellison straight up buying it in a consortium with Andreessen Horowitz, these venture capitalists, Mark Andreessen, who is pioneering AI drone technology, and Ben Horowitz. Who's Ben Horowitz's father? David Horowitz, one of the most anti-Palestinian propagandists in American history. And so they're just taking it over. Paramount, Ellison, David Ellison, Larry Ellison's son, has taken over that. They're rolling out a movie on October 7th called October 7th, which is like a straight-up propaganda movie about everything that Israel wants us to see and believe about that day. I guess, you know, no Hannibal directive. And they're going to install Barry Weiss at the property that Paramount controls in the media, CBS News. She will be editor. They've already appointed as the ombudsman an Israel lobbyist from a neocon think tank here called the Hudson Institute named David Weissman to basically stifle the news division. And a few months ago, many of CBS's 60 Minutes' hosts had to quit because they were being censored and suppressed. I mean, and this was already a show that was the voice of the establishment. So it's a... Netanyahu has been waging a seven-front war in the region, and we are now the new eighth front, as the Zionist 1% seeks to retrench its control over our minds, and they're going to fail. All those institutions are fundamentally toxic that they're taking over.
So that's Max Blumenthal, again, laying out the Tony Blair, Larry Ellison, digital ID, media control plan. And you know, we'll show the video of Larry Ellison actually talking to Tony Blair about this exactly. And this is, of course, at the World Government Summit where they're laying out exactly how to do this.
See, that's the thing is, like, the vampire always has to tell you, like, what they're about.
Right.
Right, at the end of the day. And they have these massive, ungodly sums of money. They're just able to throw, like, 100 million, 300 million, just boom, 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 to whatever NGO or platform they're going to use to push out the new garbage. Whatever they come out with, like this new, like, October 7th documentary, it's going to be the most unwatchable, painful, but highly produced slop you've ever seen.
Yep.
And imagine, like, I was making this point during the break, imagine if we had 100 million. Imagine if we had 300 million. But, oh, no, we got to sue you guys into the ground so that you don't have that kind of outreach.
100%. And let's go to this video. So this is Tony Blair interviewing Larry Ellison. Again, just to tie it all together, Tony Blair is going to be the one who ostensibly will take over Gaza when it ends. His son is the one who is behind the digital ID push. Larry Ellison just, you know, got ownership of TikTok, is buying PBS and owns Paramount and all this other stuff. Here's Tony Blair and Larry Ellison talking about what they're going to do with all of this power at the World Government Summit earlier this year. Let's watch clip number 59 now.
Your body cams will be transmitting that. The police will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording, watching and recording everything that's going on. Citizens will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on.
Social credit
when you come to
up.
Government and what government's doing,
and
obviously
see, you're bad if
there
you
are artificial
power,
intelligence
giant data
tools
centers, some
of
all the power
I know
want.
That Oracle have developed around financial management for government. But also, tell us a bit about what, because you're right at the forefront of this revolution, what it means for what government should do in terms of its digital infrastructure, you know, digital ID, data centers, and so on.
How do you take advantage of these incredible AI models? And the first thing a country needs to do is to unify all of their data so it can be consumed and used by the AI model. You have to take all of your healthcare data, your diagnostic data, your electronic health records, genomic data.
Yes,
and
you know, all the
in the Middle East, in the UAE, for example, they're incredibly rich in data. They have a lot of population data. The NHS in the UK has an incredible amount of population data, but it's fragmented. It's not easily accessible by these AI models. We have to take all of this data we have in our country and move it into a single, if you will, unified data platform so we provide context. When we want to ask a question, we've provided that AI model with all the data they need to understand our country. So that's the big step. That's kind of the missing link.
Who can send it to this?
We need to unify
exactly. Let's pause it right there. I mean, this full video is like 5 minutes long, but he just gave the game away right there. That's what they're doing. They're trying to get all of these different data sets into one central database that they can have total access to all of the thoughts and communications and, you know, even the, you know, internal secretive stuff, your healthcare stuff,
HIPAA, what's that? Some kind of HIPAA? It's not real. Like, they just run roughshod over us. You know, you have the right to privacy. You have the right to your medical information being private. You have the right to, you know, unwarranted search and seizure, which is what this is.
Yep.
You know, you have the right 100%. Against that.
100%.
I mean, they're just stripping rights left and right. And I mean, you look at Europe, you look at the UK specifically, that's already a slave state. So they'll roll this out in like a year and it'll be ready. And people will sign up for it. You know?
I mean, they are rolling this out. And again, that, you know, Larry Ellison is the guy, Project Stargate, $500 million. One of the first things Trump did when he was in office was to establish the exact mechanism needed to fulfill what Larry Ellison was talking about at the World Government Summit, which was we're going to get all these different database sets, healthcare, criminal, law enforcement, you know, internal communications, all this. It's all going to be compiled into one singular database that AI can use to determine the future actions of the government. It's horrifying.
Talk about what AI does for a second. So I had a good friend who's very good at AI. When this was all just really starting to happen in like 2022, I had him explain it to me. And he goes, look, when you search for something or you ask the AI a question, you're essentially, imagine like a 3D XY like plotting graph, right? Mm. You're shooting out a question and it's trying to get close to that perfect vector. Mm. To get close to that perfect vector, it needs context. So you ask it a question. The thing you're looking for is over here, that perfect answer. First thing's over there, second thing's over there, third thing's over there, and it gets closer and closer and closer depending on more context that you give it. Now, the context he's describing is the information on people's lives, so you have that kind of minority report power to predict the future.
Yep.
And this is what Alex talked about on Rogan 10 years ago.
Yep.
It's that AI hive mind system, and it knows everyone's thoughts and dreams. It knows what's real and what's fake, and it's able to take the context of every single human on Earth and plug it in, and they can tell the future in real time because they're predicting all the multiple actions that people will take.
And then they can actually put in stimulus to guide the future in whichever way they see fit. And again, if you think about the power of the AI that we have free access to as, you know, civilians, imagine what they're working with behind the scenes.
It's right.
Unimaginable what they have. But here's the thing. This is already happening. It's already being implemented. We've got stories like this from Laura Myers on X. This is happening right in front of us. March 2020, Palantir is given emergency contract by the NHS for just £1, which became, you know, a $23.5 million deal. And then in 2022, Palantir Technologies had a secret plan to deepen its relationship with the UK's National Health Service without public scrutiny. And they basically said they had to buy their way in. But, you know, they had to, you know, cut a deal because they really wanted access, not necessarily to the, you know, contract for COVID, but to the access of the information in the databases of the NHS, which controls the healthcare of every UK citizen. This story from The Guardian, digital ID plans for UK risk creating an enormous hacking target, says US tech companies have been circling the UK government. In February, Starmer was a guest at the headquarters of Palantir, co-founded by Trump donor Peter Thiel, which already has contracts with the NHS and the Ministry of Defense. OpenAI signed a memorandum of understanding with ministers earlier this year to exploit the deployment of advanced AI models in public services. Last week, Starmer was the special guest on stage at a corporate event in London for the $4 trillion chip maker NVIDIA. So Palantir's already, you know, deeply involved in this and surrounding this. OpenAI, Larry Ellison, and Oracle. I mean, these are the technocratic masters. I mean, that's what they're setting themselves up to be. And they're setting up their AI systems to have total domination of the entire information flow worldwide.
And, you know, we have a word for this, or actually a phrase for this. It's called loving and liberal. And if you don't like it, you're the problem. See, all these people, they're friendly. They're so nice. They love you. They want to love you forever. They want to know everything about you. I mean, you think about the UK and what happened during COVID. You know, you tweet about going to a protest or you make plans. They come and get you, right? We saw videos of this day in, day out. In the future, in the near future, you'll say something about going to the protest and they'll come grab you.
Seriously.
That's where we're headed. And we're not talking about a decade. We're talking about like a couple years.
It gets so much crazier than that too. You remember on January, this has already been deployed. This is the thing. We're not even talking about stuff in the future anymore. We're talking about stuff that's already been deployed. On January 6th, Google Maps would not give you directions to Washington, D.C. What happens when that same program is running the car that drives you there?
Right.
What happens? This actually happened with the ICE riots. Earlier this year, Waymo refused to let their cars go to downtown LA. Now, that was because they were attacking the Waymo cars, obviously, but could that not very easily be used to shut down anybody actually going to the protest? How are you going to get to the protest if you don't own a car and the car that you have to hire to get you there won't take you there because it's been programmed not to?
And they already admit all these things, like if your car has a chip in it, they can remote shut down, they can drive you off like a ravine or off into a lake, they can do whatever they want. But soon it will be public policy that, hey, we can do this and it's for your own good, it's for your safety. Right.
And again, they are literally already doing that. In the UK, I mean, people don't realize how far down the trail to true authoritarianism the UK already is. This is stuff, it's like kind of hard to find, but like we'll mention it once on a show and then like I'll forget about it. But you've got stuff like this. Far left UK government proposes banning controversial conversations, including just in the pub with your friends. That's what the leftist Labour government in Britain has proposed radical reforms to the rights of workers that could include classing sensitive topics like of conversations in the workplace, such as religions, women's rights, or transgenderism as harassment. This is from January this year. And they're talking about doing this in pubs, too.
Welcome back to the age of kings and queens. Like, that's what all this is, you know?
I wish kings and queens actually, you know, looked after their people. This is the age of Orwell, man. This is the age of this technocratic anti-human control grid. Watchdog, the Equality and Human Rights Commission, has warned that when it comes into force next year, the proposed law could significantly impact freedom of expression and even be applied to, quote, overheard conversations such as those between two or more people in a pub. So if you're having a private conversation in a public place, somebody overhears you or thinks they overhear you and feels insulted at your beliefs, that's going to be a crime under this new law.
It sounds like they need 1776. Sounds like they need that.
They need America to bring some democracy to them. I legitimately believe that. And I've got
some signaling from old JD. You know, he went over there and he kind of told him off a little bit, but we see nothing gets done. I mean, this should be public policy. The U.S. is other countries can't do this. If we're going to be imperialist and tell people what to do, like we could do it in a good way. We could do it in a beneficial way and go, hey, this is anti-human. This is authoritarian. You're not allowed to do this. But I mean, you look at Britain, you look at the UK. I mean, this is a place the Magna Carta comes from. A lot of our common law comes from, most of it actually. And they have descended, they have sunk to such a low level that, you know, the big protests and whatnot, they got this petition where 2 million people plus have signed and 20 people signed a second saying no digital ID. But, I mean, they're not going to do anything about it.
No, no, yeah, they won't. The UK government is going to move forward regardless of what their people want. They've shown that over and over again. And I got so many videos as if this audience needs to be explained, you know, why digital ID is bad. Like, you should probably know this by now. But, I mean, Let's explore it, shall we? Let's go to clip number 24 first. This is Dr. Renee Hodenerkamp. This is her talking about the so-called Brit card, the new mandatory digital ID, explaining what it's actually about. Clip 24, let's watch.
Okay, so welcome to All Wells Britain. Labour is pushing digital ID hard, and they say it's going to control migration. But France and Germany have digital ID, and they've got record migration, so that's a lie. They also say it's going to control the black market economy. But the whole point of the black market economy is that you don't get asked for your ID, so that's a lie as well. So if it isn't going to do the things that they say it's going to do and why they want it, why do they want it, and why are they using threats to implement it? Starmer said very clearly menacingly yesterday, you will not work in the UK if you don't have a digital ID. So I won't be able to work, feed my family, house them over my dead body. Try it, Keir. So we already have a national insurance number. You cannot, without that number, get a bank account, rent a house, hire a lawyer for anything. You know, you can't do anything without a national insurance number. So we have the security that we need to check our ID. So if it isn't about security, what's it about? It's about surveillance and control. It's right out of the UN's Agenda 2030. They started,
see, now everyone's talking about the stuff we've talked about for decades.
Yep.
Now everyone's catching on. Maybe too late.
Go to university. For some people, go to work without flashing your QR code on your phone. Well, let's extrapolate that a bit further. You dare to criticise migration or net zero. You dare to say that a man cannot be a woman. By the way, he can't. And you dare to raise the flag and be proud of it. You might find yourselves very quickly via your digital ID penalised. And already we have 35 people a day in the UK who are being arrested for offensive speech. So the next step on from here is digital money. I've been saying it for ages, it's coming. Your wages, your savings, your spending, your travel, all linked to your digital ID. Step out of line, say something they don't like, and they will switch you off. No travel, no car, no spending, no life. Mm. This is the Fabian autocrats' wet dream, headed by Tony Blair. And if you agree to it, you are agreeing to shackle yourself to a life without an ounce of freedom henceforth.
I mean, it is so sick. I mean, you create the problem of illegal migration. You bring all these people over here from Afghanistan, from you name it, whatever country. You have them flood. You have it become an issue. Illegal work is actually an issue over there. And then you say, oh, to fix this, we're implementing the digital ID. And if you don't like it, you're not patriotic. They even call it the Brit card.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, Keir Starmer, I mean, he's a real piece of work. A real piece of work. You can get his face up. You can get Keir Starmer's face up on the screen. That slow classic InfoWars zoom in on his face.
And of course he was actually instrumental in not just the cover up of things like what happened with that one pedophile. What's his name? The really creepy guy.
Jimmy Savile.
He was involved with Jimmy Savile. He was also one of the, you know, presiding magistrates over the grooming gang crisis.
He was the one that let them all go.
I mean, think about how ridiculous this is. You know, she even mentions, like, if you are against immigration, you will have your social credit score or whatever, you know, manifest in UK to you know, that corresponds with the social credit score, you'll be docked for opposing immigration. So the digital ID that's being implemented ostensibly to stop illegal immigration will in fact be used to force conformity with the very thing it's supposedly being implemented to stop. Like, it is so utterly crazy. It's like
these
even describing it.
These countries are run by demonic social workers. They are demonic social workers. They are bureaucrats. They are unelected ultimately, and especially in a country like Great Britain where you have like ranked choice voting and parliamentary systems and whatnot. I mean, this guy probably got, you know, like 20-25% of the vote. I'm just guessing because that's what Macron got. Could be wrong about that. But ultimately, if you polled the British people, I'm sure they don't like this guy. I mean, look at this individual.
Time.
Going over to Ukraine, you know, meeting with Zelensky.
Well, what was Brexit all about? What was, every time it's put to a vote, the English people in a single voice say we want no more immigration. They are ignored every time. And these are the people telling us we need to go to war against Russia for democracy. It is beyond ridiculous. And of course, in case you need a reminder, let's go to clip number 23 here, because digital ID was the first step that China took to its social credit score. This is what awaits the UK people in maybe just like a year or two if they don't put a stop to digital ID. Let's watch.
A good score brings benefits, but people with low scores lose rights. The cinema names and shames people considered untrustworthy, plastering their details, even their addresses, across big screens.
It's a matter of principle. Those people have to be condemned.
Those people aren't honest, so they have to pay the price.
It's only right to pay your debts. You have to blacklist those that don't.
The Supreme Court has created a blacklist for so-called bad citizens, those whose ratings have dropped to zero. On it are companies, but also 23 million people to date. Among them is this journalist, Liu Hu. He got a little too close to uncovering corruption among high-profile party members. After being sued for defamation by the subject of a story he'd written, he was blacklisted. He only realized when he tried to buy a train ticket and was told he was banned from traveling.
That tells me I'm still on the blacklist.
Punished because he's been branded untrustworthy by the state.
Mm. Oh, they love that.
Once you're blacklisted, you can no longer get a bank loan, start a business, buy an apartment, or even send your children to a private school.
Liu Hu is among a tiny minority of people who have dared to criticize the system, which some are calling a digital dictatorship.
I worry because I think many people like me will be deprived of individual freedoms.
And that's exactly what it's meant for. And I remind you, the UK is not just flirting with this. They're already implementing this in a lot of ways. This is from the UK government. From August 23rd of this year, gov.uk, criminals to face football, travel, club, and pub bans. Judges have been given new powers to punish offenders with bans that curtail freedom. Mandatory drug testing expanded to keep offenders on the straight and narrow. But basically, they're saying criminals will be barred from pubs, concerts, and sports matches under new sentencing powers unveiled by the government today as part of its plan for change.
And of course, you're a criminal if you just say something offensive.
Well, that's exactly it. It doesn't actually have to be, it doesn't have to be a violent attack. It doesn't have to actually be a crime.
They don't prosecute the people that commit violent crime. They love it.
No,
they encourage it.
If you're, raping girls as part of a systematic effort to, take on,
it's sick.
It's sick, and we've only scratched the surface. We're going to get back into this, and we're going to take your calls in the third hour. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Take advantage of the buy one, get one for methylene blue, thealexjonesstore.com, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere, folks.
I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at theolivesholestore.com.
It's the third hour of the War Room. Rex Jones. I get confused sometimes. Rex Jones sitting co-pilot with me as we continue to break down just the abject technocratic tyranny besieging the world at this point. I mean, what is there more to say about this digital ID? I mean, we could go to Whitney Webb warning about it. We could go to Alex Newman warning about it. We could go to RFK Jr. warning. Everybody knows this is tyranny.
I mean, we were really the harbingers of this. We've been 100%. Talking about this for 10, 20. Alex has been talking about it for 30 plus years. So if you look at the whole situation, we've been calling this from day one. That's why the show is called InfoWars.
Back when it was, Agenda 2020 at first, or Agenda 20, right? And then now it's Agenda 2030. We made them push it back 10 years, but they're still pursuing, that exact same goal, the global government. I mean, that is where it all goes. And obviously everything is going in this direction. And as you pointed out, America should be the resistance to this.
Right.
I loved hearing J.D. Vance go and say, what are you even fighting for?
It's
You've given
moment.
Up your own beliefs. That was so brilliant. But then you look at how this stuff is being implemented and you've got Larry Ellison, who's signing the Stargate deal, who's working with Trump to get TikTok. He's in partnership with Tony Blair, who's the one who's rolling out the digital ID. America isn't resisting this. America seems to be one of the driving forces.
Right. And
this.
They tell you, and this is the whole thing with the climate change narrative, which is why it ultimately is such BS. They tell you, look, humans are bad. Cows are bad. The methane, the power we use, all of that. But they're flying around in private jets. That's always been the narrative. They're living rich. They're living off the land. And then we, as citizens, were bad. But now they have to build these giant data centers that require twice the power that all of humanity uses to run. And, we got to do that. You know, we got to have the most sophisticated AI systems. And ultimately, the taxpayers got to pay for it. We got to give these people tax cuts so they can build it. Got to give them write-offs, you name it. But we're not allowed to have a good quality of life. The data center and the ultra billionaires are allowed to have this quality of life. It's crazy.
100%. And, you know, this is why it's so hard to talk about this stuff, because how do you even talk about digital ID if you're not talking about the way they're taking over the food systems as well? Because it's a holistic attack that they're, you know, waging on humanity. And they're not leaving you the option of opting out. They're not leaving you the option of, well, I'm just going to go off grid and I'll have solar panels and I'll just, you know, raise my own food. They're going to say, well, then in that case, you are, you know,
how are you going to pay for anything? That's what they're going to say. They're going to say, how do you pay for anything with our new digital currency? How do you pay for anything? How do you buy the buckets you need? How do you buy the seeds you need to run this farm off the grid? Well, simply put, you can't even roll into town with like your stack of dollars. That's not valid currency anymore. They make you adopt the system in some various way. And then eventually, once it's all built, there's no escape. And we are so close to that. I mean, America, we got this kind of like F around, find out culture. We think we're all tough and independent. This is all happening to them. It'll happen to us in like a decade. It's going to happen to them in like a year or two.
It is coming. It is. I you are too optimistic, Rex. You're too white-pilled. It's already happening here.
I'm trying.
Yeah, I know.
I'm black-pilled.
I'm kidding, but nobody knows about this. In Colorado, they're seizing farmland. I got a video I could show you of that. Gavin Newsom just, you know, has a bill on his desk right now, already passed the Congress, already passed the Senate in the state of California, banning hate speech, criminalizing speech that they claim is hate, which, as we know, is just speech that they hate. It's already happening here to a very large degree.
It's so crazy. I mean, in California, they'll spend like $600 million on like 8 toilets, and they can't get it done. But these NGOs, these groups, they have this big money too, and they're able to roll out these plans no problem. So you look at our government, it's ineffective because these bureaucrats, that fourth branch of government, they're the ones in control.
100%. And again, it's being implemented worldwide, you know, all at exactly the same time for a reason. And, you know, it's not, we have to like mentally, we in the info war, we have to remind ourselves that like we're not predicting the future anymore. That's what it used to be. For the last 30 years, Alex Jones has been telling you this is coming. Now we have to tell you this is here. It's here. It's being implemented in the UK. They're doing digital ID. Doesn't matter if 2 million people signed the petition. They're going to implement it, and they already have laws on the books to ban you from things like clubs and pubs and sports games for daring to say something that the establishment doesn't like.
Offensive speech. So you're in Britain, and you're chilling, having a good time, and then some guy in a powdered wig, some magistrate, tells you, there's no more pub for you, son. There's no more football.
Literally. In Canada, says they'll send you to jail for life because of hate speech. Yeah, it's happening everywhere. It's insane, but we've been telling you for 30 years. We'll be right back.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, in studio with me, the one and only Rex Jones. Follow him on X at Rex Jones News with a Z. Rex Jones, N-E-W-Z, on X. Get his followers up and watch all the new shows that he's making and starring in. I got so many videos to get to, man. But
I know you got this big list of documents.
I got two pages of videos.
Let me sing your praises for a second. I say this not lightly. I say this with great seriousness, great gravity, great intent. Harrison is a master of the stacks. I mean, look at these stacks right here. Look at all these
stacks for days. The stacks have devolved into a
soup,
a mess. Yeah, soup of some sort. I got so many. I mean, I'm telling you, we haven't even touched on the Antifa stuff. This whole weekend was like an insurrection like we've never seen. Just a war zone in Portland and Broadview, Illinois, and they're arresting people and getting attacked. I mean, I haven't even touched on that, and I got so many good videos to go to in that regard. But I think really this push towards global government, there's going to be a lot of people at Fox News is probably showing you stuff about Antifa. InfoWars is here to tell you about what's coming next, what they're implementing at the highest levels, the way censorship and control and AI, all this surveillance, it's all being combined into one consortium that will serve as the seed of global government. So I got to focus on that. We got to focus on that. And one way, you know, we may want to highlight what exactly is happening to the world is just going over what exactly it's like to live in the UK these days. It is beyond dystopian, but I want to take your calls on all of this. We're going to give out the phone number right now. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. Give us a call now at The War Room, 1-877-789-2539. Rex and I will be taking your calls throughout the hour. We'll go to those just as soon as they start pouring in. So, did you see this story from The Telegraph? And actually, I have some insight into this, I think.
Tell me.
This apparently has been withdrawn. The headline from The Telegraph was, "First cousin marriage has benefits, says NHS guidance, despite birth defect risk." And actually, I thought maybe I had the original tweet.
Well, it's got a ton of benefits. You got a low IQ population that's got a bunch of medical issues you can control from cradle to grave. I mean, it sounds wonderful for the UK. They must love that.
Wouldn't that be great? You know, the NHS can take on that, you know, extra burden.
You know, Gavin McGinnis, people talk about Alex in the banned episodes from Rogan, the ones that were stripped or removed. Gavin McGinnis had a great episode where he educated Joe Rogan on these like inbred marriages and on like the rate of it specifically applying to, I believe, Pakistani immigrants in the UK.
Yep.
It's stunning.
It's huge.
It's crazy what they do.
And this is the thing that people never understood about this, that this article is actually kind of like trying to justify. And in fact, the tweet they first put out about this was even more telling, because it just said something like, you know, first cousin marriage actually has financial and, family clan adherence benefits. And this is what people don't understand about the family marriages. It's driven by greed. It's driven by seeing the women in your family as possessions and not wanting other families to take possession of your wealth. That's really what's behind. So like when you talk about incest, it's not out of necessity and it's not out of some like religious thing. It's greed at the base of it. Why would I give my daughter away to these strangers when I can give them to my cousin and then the wealth remains in the family? So it really comes from greed and this sort of basic immorality that exists in these cultures.
I mean, like a Flintstones caveman style, you know.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, it seems like kind of an ancient bad practice that's been carried forward into the modern world. And it sounds like the modern government loves it because it makes the population weak and easy to control.
Yeah. So, well, there you go. That could be a very good reason. So, yeah, the NHS apparently...
Yeah, stop reading these things as bad. These are good things.
These are good things.
That's
yes,
right.
We've reached that point of the cycle of conspiracy that the thing that they said didn't exist does exist,
and it's good.
And
right.
It's a good thing, exactly. So, okay, there's that. Then we've got this from the UK. I'll remember this story from a few weeks ago, because they, of course, before doing the digital ID, they do all these things incrementally. Before the digital ID was the Online Safety Act. And one of the things that happened during the Online Safety Act was that the Bible itself was taken off the internet. The Bible Gateway, the most popular online Bible website and app in the world, which is used by millions and millions of Christians around the world to find Bible verses, has been removed in the UK due to the Online Safety Act. So here you see how it will really be used, and you have the official statement. Bible Gateway is unavailable in the UK and EU due to the Online Safety Act and equivalent EU legislation. They made the Bible illegal, folks.
Well, you know, Harrison, I prefer traditional British food, like a kebab, like halal food. I prefer traditional British literature too, like the Hadiths or like the Quran. You know, like this is England. Right?
Yeah, of course.
You have to understand, right? It's the Englandistan.
Englandistan. That's exactly what it is. Of course, you know, the arrests that are made in the UK because of speech, this bastion of democracy that, of course, wants us to go to war with Russia because of how totalitarian they are. Russia has twice as many people as England does and arrests about a quarter as many people for speech crimes. The UK free speech crackdown sees up to 30 people a day arrested for petty offenses such as retweets and cartoons. And, of course, this video has gone viral. Clip 21, British man sentenced to 2 years in prison over a Facebook comment. When you're talking about guys in powdered wigs handing down prison sentences for speech, you're not exaggerating. This is literally happening. Let's watch.
To a post questioning why, you wrote, because they're over here, given life of Riley, off the tax us hard-working people earn, when it could be put to better use.
Come over here
with no work visa, no trade to their name, and sit down and doss. And then there's more people being put out homeless each year. They get top band priority on housing.
Totally true.
You went on to say that you did not want your money going to immigrants who, quote,
how dare you? How dare you, sir? This is like going to jail I don't want my money stolen and given to people.
There's no such thing
as
an acid attack or a stabbing attack. This isn't common. Shut up. We're sending you to jail.
Yep. That's literally how we can take it down. We don't need to listen to the,
Hey, just look at this guy. Wait, just leave him up on the screen for a second. Look at this person. F you. I think you're a communist. I think you're a liberal. I think you're a coward. I think that you're scum. And you know what? I don't live over on your little crappy island totalitarian nation, so I can say whatever the hell I want about you, buddy.
Well, we're almost obligated to say it. I hope somebody rips off your stupid wig and smacks you in the face with it.
Yeah, I'd like to see a tar and feathering, you know,
yeah.
Metaphysically.
I think every immigrant in England should be, rounded up and forced to walk back to France. I think that's the best way to do it. They can walk right across the ocean.
France is their new home.
Yeah. I mean, this is, if you want to tell us not to say stuff, we're going to say things that you can't even imagine. UK Met Police Chief Mark Rowley hails facial recognition, outlines drone and AI policing plans. I mean, this is all being put into place, folks. A face in the crowd is all it takes to be caught in the dragnet of a digital police state. The steady spread of facial recognition technology into Britain's streets is drawing alarm for those who see it as a step towards mass surveillance, even as police leaders celebrate it as a powerful new weapon against crime. You know, the crimes that they let people go for because they're brown and we can't have that. You know, the crimes like a million British girls being raped continually and nothing being done about it. Those are not the crimes that will be dealt with facial recognition. It's protesting those things. That's what will be considered a crime and punished with the AI facial recognition. And it goes on and on. Of course, the way this digital identity and then the digital money will be used is already being seen in places like Vietnam, as Vietnam shuts down millions of bank accounts over biometric rules. This is from September 22nd, so about a week ago this was published. Vietnam has begun a sweeping crackdown on bank accounts that failed to comply with its new mandatory facial biometric identification system, sparking debate over financial inclusion and whether cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin offer a viable alternative to affected users. So again, we see how this plays out.
I mean, this is really the death of the Enlightenment. This is really the death of the Bill of Rights.
Yep.
It's the death of you having your rights like given to you by God, because America was the first place where this really ever happened. You can point at the system being flawed or messed up, you name it, whatever. We have had a lot of issues that we've had to resolve, but we've kind of backslid. And as we've backslid, the rest of the world has backslid because they copied us. Mm-hmm. The liberalism that expanded out of America started, and all these countries still had kings and queens. They still had autocracy. They still had that top-down government. And now you're looking at the return of that system, and where is America? Where is the great champion of freedom and liberty and all these kinds of rights? Well, we're back in the data centers, man. We're building them everywhere, and we're saying, hey, it's good these things need power. We're going to give them all the power that they want. I mean, it's just sick.
No, it is, but you're exactly right. They're trying to reset things back to like 1775. They're not just trying to undo like the Trump revolution. They're trying to undo the American revolution.
Your rights aren't given to you by God. Your rights aren't inalienable. They're in fact quite alienable. We can take them away from you whenever we want. That's the whole message of all of this. And that's why I hate it so much, because I love this country a lot. And it makes me sad to see what's happened here. But you look around the globe, what happens here 10% happens other places 1,000%.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, we are headed in that direction. And you said we're the first, you know, country to have like freedom of speech enshrined in our country. We're still the only country to have that,
right,
as far as I'm concerned.
Excellent
in
point.
Any real way. So,
but they had to pay lip service to it, you know?
Yeah. And of course, it just obviously is the best way to do things. So they try to do as much possible, but it's inconvenient for the people who want to, you know, remain in power and be ruthless.
When JD was calling them out, didn't Keir Starmer say, oh, we have free speech. We have free speech here. I believe you can find the clip. I'm not defaming him. That's the damn truth. This is like they just lie openly because they'll never be called on it. Anyone calls them on it, they send them to jail for hateful speech.
100%.
Can't make this stuff up.
And I mean, I have so many videos. Like, what it's like to live in the UK these days is truly beyond dystopian. Like, I don't even like watching these videos, but like,
it's horrible.
We have to, okay? Let's go to
I raise you Australia, by the way.
Oh my God.
Even worse.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man. The UK is like, these are all videos that were just, you know, that I gathered over the weekend. Let's go to clip 20 here. This is a young girl in England explaining what it's like going to school with so-called Asians, which are what they call Muslims, Pakistanis in the UK. This is what it's like for little girls in the UK right now. These are the UK civilians who the government is supposed to ostensibly be there to protect. This is what they're being subjected to as a matter of routine and a matter of policy. Let's watch.
And you're from a local school.
Yeah.
Have you lived in this area all your life?
Yeah.
You're having problems at school. Can you just elaborate on the kind of problems that you're having?
Asian boys coming up to me and saying, I'm going to rape you. And if you don't go with me, I'm going to punch you in the face with a knuckle duster. And if you don't, give me a blowjob.
And this is happening at the school to several girls, is it? It's not an individual case.
No, it's happening to lots of girls.
Do you think the teachers and the authorities are aware of this?
Yeah.
I mean, you're probably aware that the Edge of the City programme focused on young girls like yourself who have been targeted by Asians to be groomed in this particular area. Do you think that was an accurate description of what is happening?
Yes.
Have you contacted the police regarding them threatening to rape you?
Yeah.
And what's the police response has been?
They said that they're going to look into it.
And that is it?
Yeah.
What's your teacher's response been?
The pupils are going to get excluded for 15 school days.
Right, and that is it.
Yeah.
There's also the accusation that young Asian males are hanging outside schools in flash cars, basically intimidating young girls like yourself with threats. Is that the case?
Yeah.
And this is happening, what, once a week, twice a week?
Every day.
Every day?
Yeah.
And the authorities know it's happening, but they're not doing anything about it?
Hmm.
And how do you feel when you're targeted by these people?
I feel intimidated by them. And scared.
So there's a 13-year-old girl from the UK talking about how it's just basically a daily thing, being intimidated, being harassed, being threatened. Now, are these people that go to her school? It could likely be people that go. Remember, you know, there's this big scandal in, I think it was like Austria or Germany or somewhere, where they finally like actually looked at the dental records of the people they were letting in, and like 50% of the minors that were in school in Germany were actually like 30-year-old men. And so you literally have adult men going, oh, I'm 15. And then they put them in, you know, high school with the high school freshman girls.
You know, like, it's crazy.
It is sick. And it's like, God, people don't realize it. So much of the migration is literally just that they just like want white women. Like, they literally are just like, they see white women as like a prize that, you know, we have that they want, and they're coming to take the white women. And it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy that they allow these people just to exist in their country.
We love our Somalis. We love our Muslims. Oh, they're so good. Oh, they're so sweet.
They're so sweet, aren't they? And then the British girls are told to, you know, shut up and take it. What else? Here's clip 30 here. This is what it's like as a, you know, as a white woman in the UK going to a nightclub. You want to go out and, you know, relax on a Friday night? Here's what you interact with. Clip 30. Here we see an Asian guy. Oh, stroking his thumb across his neck.
Durkin Muhammad Jihad.
Yeah, we're going to behead you. And then, like, the look of terror in this girl's face. This is who you have walking around the UK, going up to white women, you know, trying to grab them. When they reject them, looking into the camera and going.
Very enlightened culture.
And wandering off. It's crazy.
Loving
it is crazy you have these people in your country. It is nuts. And obviously, it's not just the women. Here's a video that was recorded by a Ring doorbell at 3:40 a.m., clip 26. This was in a small town in the U.K., and this was published with the, you know, sarcastic label. How grateful we are to have foreign men wandering the streets of Crawley, checking to make sure we're safe and that our doors are locked. So here you have this, like, creepy-looking dead-eyed dude just walking around the neighborhood, checking to see if your door's locked. God only knows what he's going to do if your door's unlocked. And he actually ends up ringing the doorbell and, like, talking, and, like, you can't understand what he's saying, but he's not scared of being caught. He literally just rang the doorbell and now is standing
there. It's like GTA.
Talking.
It's like GTA if you're one of these guys. You can just go do whatever you want. You won't get prosecuted. They won't put you in jail. And then anyone that says anything about you, they'll go to jail. It's like 100%. Having a reversed wanted system. Like, the more crimes you commit, the better off and safer you are, more protected by the government. It's institutionalized collapse and failure of the society. It's what they want. They want to bring in this underclass, this permanent underclass that they can come in and rule over. And they don't have any concept of any of these liberal democracy rights that, you know, people in the West have been used to.
Yep.
They're the perfect slave underclass for the elites. So you got a bunch of guys like Keir Starmer who can just live on these like giant British estates and basically have slave labor, have servants, whatever he wants, you name it. And then the native population is gone. It's replaced by people that never knew what freedom was.
100%.
That's what the system is. Let's take some calls.
I do want to take some calls. I want to do two more examples of this. This is, well, three more really. The first is this one from Reddit. People don't really get, you know, why Americans want to have guns. This is from Legal Advice UK subreddit. He says, two men stole my house. Police say it's a civil matter. About 2 weeks ago, two men forced themselves into my house, took my keys and locked me out. I called police who turned up. The men claimed they were tenants and the police won't do anything. They say it's a civil matter. I have absolutely no idea who these men are. I fought them as they tried to force themselves in, but ended up being thrown outside. I've been staying at my parents' for 2 weeks now. I'm currently paying a mortgage on a house I don't have access to, and the police won't do anything. Somebody please help. I have absolutely no idea what to do. Would my best bet be to get a few friends and force our way in and take it back? If you want to go to jail for the rest
of
your life.
Right. I mean, look, you know what happens here in Texas if that happens? If two dudes show up in the middle of the night and try to like take over your house, you kill them.
You kill them.
Right. And like, that should be legal.
Look, it's one thing if it's like they're doing some legal maneuver where you had a house that you weren't in for a month.
No, they threw him out of his home.
They literally knocked on his door. He answers it. They kick the door open, throw him out, lock the door. And
it's a home invasion where instead of stealing stuff, they steal the entire property.
They steal the property and the government goes along with it. This next one. In the United Kingdom, fewer white children are accepted into higher education than any other ethnicity. Let me say that again. In the UK, fewer white children are accepted into higher education compared to any other ethnicity. Not like combined. No, literally this is the Chinese students are the highest. The next highest is Asian and then black and then mixed. And down here, the lowest level is white. So when you divide universities, you know, population in the UK by race, white people are the lowest number in their own homeland. How does that get established? How is that allowed? Okay, final thing, then we'll go out to calls. This video that we just played, this 16-year-old girl having a flag ripped out of her hands. Let's watch this now. It's the one you were just playing, the 19.
And just look how ridiculous their police are.
They're foreign enforcers, so they're
calling a license tag.
And it gets ripped out of her hands by this police liaison. Now people have asked for this guy's information, Northumberland Police. In further footage, the same officer can be heard telling her she would not be getting the flag back. Okay, so take all of this in kind.
He's on a power trip. He's all tough. You know, he took a flag away from like a 16-year-old. Oh, he's the big man. He's the police officer. Oh, you know, he ain't going to protect you when Muhammad stabs you in the neck, but he's going to take that flag away from you because that's the job he wanted. That's the job he got. They find the dumbest retards possible and they give him the vest. They give him the power. I mean, Alex used to talk about this all the time back there in the original studio. They got the cops and the commando outfits coming in. They don't address the real crime. They don't help you. They're only job is to oppress your liberties.
Outrageous cowards. This is from a Blighter Sort on X, and I think he just sums it up perfectly as the capstone to this segment on the UK. I mean, I don't know how much clearer it can get, but when a foreign population moves en masse into your territory, they're granted special rights over and above yours. They rape your women with near impunity, and the authorities ban and confiscate your national symbols. You have been conquered. The details of how or why are interesting, but the fundamental truth is undeniable. You have been conquered. And it's not just the national flag. It, of course, is the St. George flag as well. And we've got video of a guy riding his bike with the St. George flag. And it, of course, he's stopped and surrounded by police and they rip it out of his hands. Yeah, you've been conquered, people. Time to fight back for once. They still have the majority. Yeah, and there's a guy spitting on the St. George flag.
That's allowed. That's good. See, that's not hateful speech. That is good. That's allowed. That's fine. That guy doesn't go to jail. Nothing happens to him. There's a double standard here. The UK is occupied. It's authoritarian terrorist state, just like Israel, possibly even worse. I mean, they created Israel. UK, like, there needs to be a global referendum against these people. But most of the globe, unfortunately, is part of this system. So we have to do it. We have to be positively imperialist. We have to demand change. They are a weak nation. They are our beneficiary. We protect them. They must do what we say. Hey, Keir Starmer, you work for us now. And you're going to stop doing all this, or we're going to take you out.
I honestly think that's what we need to do. But it's not just the UK. Switzerland just voted to have a digital ID. They also have... You know, maybe we'll finish out with this and we'll go to calls, right off the bat in the next segment. Let's go to clip number 31 here. This is where it's actually heading. Let's watch clip 31.
Which may sound like gloomy third-party determination and a bit like blackmail is a reality with our neighbors in Switzerland. Cheap social housing is being created in Zurich. The catch is that anyone who wants such an apartment undertakes not to own a car.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The construction project Tram Depot Heart in the heart of Zurich. 193 social rental apartments for 500 people are being built here.
Now again, to live in a little box apartment and agree not to have a car, that would be insane and objectionable to most Europeans with a heritage of abundance and freedom. But hey, if you're from the slums of India, having an apartment at all is like more than you could ask for. So you're going to do whatever it takes to stay there, including submit yourself to these ridiculous laws. So we'll go to your phone calls just as soon as we get back on the other side of a quick commercial break. Methylene Blue, buy one, get one. That's the sale. It's on tonight. It ends tonight. TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And, of course, you can follow me on X at Harrison H. Smith. Follow Rex on X at Rex Jones News. And we'll be back on the other side to take your calls and talk about all this stuff. And again, I didn't even get to touch on the insane Antifa, the rioting, you've got the Oregon.
Well, that's why you're here every day, weekdays.
Oh my God. I need more than 3 hours a day to get to all this stuff. But we're going directly after your phone calls on the other side. Do not go anywhere, and we'll be right back with more. It's the War Room, Infowars.com.
We're not funded by anybody but you. So I'm going to bring you products that are absolutely amazing and will change your life. We have the best ultramethylene blue medical grade at TheAlexJonesStore.com. You've seen Kennedy taking it. Everybody, my medical doctor almost 7 years ago said, get USP medical grade methylene blue. And it cleans out your mitochondria, gives you all this energy. So good for your brain. So good for your stamina, libido, energy, focus. And I took it and didn't really feel it. My wife liked it, kept ordering different brands of it. Then we got the stuff that our sponsor is putting out, because I always have them get the top rated. And they said, oh, we got a medical lab. They've never even put it out as a supplement before. It's what they use in surgeries. It's the very best. We've got it. The crew starts taking it, going crazy. They said, this is so much energy. This is so good. Within 15, 20 minutes, I've given it to like 500 people. Only two of them didn't feel it. But it's the long-term effects you really feel. Sean Johnson, you know, Navy SEAL buddy of mine, I work with every day. He literally says he's never felt better. Injuries he had don't even hurt anymore. You've heard the rave reviews. Get yours now at TheAlexJonesStore.com, because here's the news flash. You wanted it. We did it, even on limited supply. Today the deal ends. Buy one bottle of the capsules or the liquid, and you get another bottle free right now. Also, if you sign up for auto ship as a subscriber, you can cancel any time for free. It locks it in forever as long as you're a subscriber. At 50% off if you're a subscriber. Also, anybody buying anything, the t-shirts, all the great stuff, the ball caps, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, the supplements, become a VIP, just like being Amazon Prime. $30 a month, you get $40 to spend in the store instantly as credit. Special deals, special offers, special sales on top of everything. So anybody that's going to buy anything at TheAlexJonesStore.com, at checkout, let's say you're buying a $30 t-shirt or whatever. All right, you then click to be a VIP, and now the t-shirt is free, and you get an extra $10. You see how that works? Everybody should be a VIP, and then you know you're supporting us. I don't own TheAlexJonesStore.com, so they're successful. This Friday, they're trying to get the federal court to shut us down again. We got the backup network because of them, and they can't take it over because I don't own TheAlexJonesStore.com. It is, give me an overhead shot. It is so critical. I don't even talk about ourselves anymore. We're under so much attack. Just pray for us. But that's what's going on. That's the battles that are happening. That is the reality of this. So I need your support now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And there are so many other great supplements there as well. We have the best bovine colostrum. We have the very best spike protein detox, cardiovascular booster, ultimate life force. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
If you are resistant. receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Final segment of the War Room. We go directly out to your calls. Myself and Rex Jones in studio, monitoring the day's events. Let's go to Jefferson in Virginia. First off the block, go ahead, Jefferson, on line one. You are going to be on the air just as soon as that light turns red. Go ahead, Jefferson. You're on the air.
What's up, Harrison and Rex? Good to see you.
Good afternoon.
Good to be with you.
I just saw a report from Peter Tichtin on Emil Robinson's program that. Todd Blanche, the DAG, is actually more of a problem at the DOJ than Pam Bondi. Pam Bondi's not very bright, but this Todd Blanche guy is actually the foot dragger. He's the guy that's getting in the way of getting things done. He was the defense attorney in the he worked for Trump getting him off with the porn star issue. He helped him there, but he's a Democrat. He's acting like he's a Republican, but he's actually a Democrat, and he's a real problem.
Yeah,
Peter Tichtin guy.
I'm familiar with his name, but I wasn't aware he, played such a prominent role.
Yeah. Well, Peter Tichtin was the attorney that was sent to Colorado to try to get Tina Peters out of that prison, and Todd Blanche is getting in the way of anybody putting her in the federal witness protection program. So we got to do something about Todd Blanche, maybe do something about Pam Bondi, but we got to start with Blanche. He seems to be the real issue.
Interesting. I see a story from ABC News. DOJ's Todd Blanche, who once blasted vindictive prosecution of Trump, defends Comey charges. So he's playing his role of a Trump supporter, but
I'm going to do a deep dive. Going to do a deep dive on him. I'll do a video on him. Follow me at Rex Jones News on Twitter. I'll investigate. Thank you.
This is why we love our audience, more informed than we are about certain things. Thank you for the tip, Jefferson. We'll look into that. Appreciate it. Let's go to Wild in Wisconsin now on line two. Go ahead, Wild. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. First, I have a supplement question, if that's possible, if Rex can answer it.
You've got the right man here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering your opinion on fenugreek, F-E-N-U-G-R-E-E-K. Have you heard of that?
I have. It's a phenomenal testosterone booster. People are claiming that it's more effective than Tonkat and Tribulus terrestris. I haven't personally tried it, but I put it into a formula a while ago, so I guess I have tried it. It was with a bunch of other things like ashwagandha, which also raises testosterone. So I can't report on its solo usage, but that formula that I made, it was for men like over 45, over 50 that wanted kind of a general, gentle testosterone boost. It's incredible for that. That's what I hear. I would pair it with boron if you're going to take it because fenugreek seems to attenuate and raise free testosterone. Boron also does that. So if you really wanted to supercharge it, I put fenugreek and boron together. You can also get CO2 extracts of it that are very potent at a very reasonable price.
Yeah, I've been trying it, and it's great. And also, I like the side effect that it makes your sweat smell like maple syrup.
Really?
Kind of
haven't heard about this.
I was hoping you guys start selling it at the store so I can buy it from you guys.
That's a phenomenal product. I'll have to talk to the guys at Bigly about it. You know, we should do something like that. I've been saying for a while, you know, why don't we have Supermale Vitality? Why don't we have Supermail? We should have Supermail. It's a flagship product. Everyone loves it. And maybe we could replace the Tonkat in that with the fenugreek. That's actually a good idea.
So there you go. Again, this is why we love our audience. But now go to thealexjonesstore.com. Get your ultramethylene blue 2-for-1. Take advantage of that sale. If people are wanting to boost their testosterone, what product should they go for?
They should go for the Power Plant. Power Plant is kind of a safe blend to do it. You know, all these herbs like the Fidogia, like the Tonkat, like the Tribulus. I'm not sure about fenugreek's mechanism of action. I'm going to learn after this broadcast. I'm not sure. I've forgotten. All these herbs are essentially like weak LH luteinizing hormone mimetics, right? So LH is something that stimulates your like testicles to create testosterone, but that signaling can be very strong. And if you have something acting in the place of LH, it can actually cause like slight suppression over time if you were to take it for like months and months on end. So what I did with Power Plant, we've got ingredients in there that are great for mitochondrial health and ingredients in there that lower cortisol, which also boosts testosterone, but it's got boron, it's got zinc, and it's got selenium all in the like perfect ratio in the perfect form of the mineral that you need and specifically geared and targeted towards free testosterone. So I would check out Power Plant.
So there you go. Get Power Plant now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get the 2-for-1 special. Ends tonight. But Wild, you didn't just call in about that. What's your comment on the shooting of Charlie Kirk?
Yeah, it's kind of a icky subject because I don't like, you know, talking about
things regarding people who have lost loved ones, but I got to play it as I call it, and the India Times reported on it, that there appears to be on Erica Kirk's hand a glyph, a symbol of the planet Saturn on her hand, either branded or scarified. I don't know if you saw this.
Yeah. I saw it could be a like cigarette lighter burn, you know, like I got a couple of those.
Too, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not sure what exactly that is. It does look an awful lot like the Saturn symbol.
It's cross on her other hand.
You know,
it's not fair that like the black Q people get like the monopoly on Saturn. You know, there could be, you know, people can worship other planets or like other planets. You know, you can't just monopolize an entire planet.
Right.
You're one group of
It's a very interesting occultish, phenomenon that Saturn, the black cube, the hexagon on Saturn. I mean, there's some interesting stuff to that. When it comes to Erica Kirk, I keep seeing people post videos, you know, that are supposed to be suspicious. I have found, honestly, not very much of anything suspicious about how Erica Kirk is responding. And I think one of the things that explain, the fact that she doesn't seem like a total mess is, she's a pageant girl. And if there's one thing about girls that do pageants, their like primary skill is suppressing emotion and making, you know, looking good. And, you know, for the time period they're in front of the camera, they look put together. And I think that
right. I mean,
coming out.
I'm sure she's got like a psychiatrist and a doctor. I'm sure she's, you know, on things to help her cope. And, you know,
well, she's not. It's interesting that you
really?
Mentioned that. Cause I said, you know, well, you know, that would explain it, but apparently she said, you know, she's not doing any of that. She's like, no alcohol, no, you know, antidepressants. She's raw dogging it. So, I don't know. I have trouble seeing anything suspicious in the way, that she's acting. So I sort of avoid any of that, speculation, especially, I mean, I don't know. These people are human. That's the thing you have to understand.
Her
husband got killed. I mean, yeah. These people are human beings. I think people sort of overestimate how many like total literal psychopaths there are. Do you know how much like psychological damage it takes to like live a lie? Like, yeah, some people can do it, but I mean, we were talking about, you know, her husband being murdered. I don't know. I think it's all very, very speculative, and any evidence that's presented is very thin in my opinion. It does look like a Saturn scar, but it also looks like a horseshoe. I don't know. It could be anything. Maybe you can ask her about it. You could call into her show or something, but I don't know. I think Erica Kirk just, you know, she deserves our patience, I guess. It, you know, people are like demanding that she's sadder or something. It's like, I don't know. She married this guy and had two kids with him. Do you think she could, you know, she was just faking it that whole time? Like, so you really think she's like an insane psychopathic person to be living a life for years on end that apparently she didn't even care about the guy? Like, this isn't the Truman Show. That's not how this stuff works.
It's very early on in the grieving process. She could still be in denial. You know, like I can't believe this happened. Like, I'm expecting him to just come home and it'll be all right. People get real delusional, you know, when something bad happens, and that's a normal part of the human response, right? So, you know, she did come out kind of all happy and smiling on the show, and I'm not going to read too much into it yet. That's my personal decision. I believe that's yours as well.
I completely agree, but I appreciate the call, Wild, and I don't blame anybody for looking into any aspect of the shooting. I think.
WWE funeral, a little bit bad taste.
But see, even that, to me, it's like, okay, here are people that worked with Charlie. This is what they do, right? Their whole job is putting on
spectacles.
It is,
in a way, what he would want, you know?
Well, and it's just, you know, it's, you know, they want to put their best foot forward. They're like, we're going to celebrate Charlie and I'm going to do everything I can. So they just like work their butts off for a year to like, or for a week to just like do the best they can. And of course that's what they do. They put on good shows. You know, it'd be like, me putting together a video, a memorial video. It's like, that's what I do. I make videos. So that's what I'm going to put my effort into doing that. And then you're making videos about this, like you're celebrating. It's like, no, this is how we show respect because this is what we're good at. I don't know. I unless there's like overwhelming evidence somebody has ulterior motives, I think it's kind of ridiculous to be, you know, claiming that people are in on it just because they aren't sufficiently sad. I don't know. That's just me. That's just me, but I appreciate the call. Let's go to Owl Killer in Virginia. Owl Killer wants to talk about the freedom of speech, the AI control system being really championed first and foremost by Israel. Go ahead, Owl Killer. You're on the air.
Hey, so first off, hey, Rex, your dad just said the other day on air that you were attending an Orthodox church, and I'm very happy for you. I've been trying to bring it up to your dad on the air a few times. He's aware of it. He's aware that it's the original church. And I would kind of put that sun pressure on him a little bit because I really think he could benefit from it. Focusing on the Israel situation.
Well, hold on. I want to get Rex's response to that. We'll go back to you. Don't worry. What's your take on that? You are Orthodox, right?
I'm a catechumen. I've been a catechumen for over a year now. It's a long process. I mean, even for me, like I come from a very Protestant background and Alex does too at the end of the day. So concepts like church history, concepts like the sacraments, concepts like ultimately the priesthood, it's something that I've talked to him about. It takes more explaining. It's something that's going to take time. I've talked to him about it. So like I've addressed this with him and, you know, we're not totally on the same page about it. He respects me and what I'm doing and he respects my freedom to do it. But at the moment, like, you know, I try to put like the sun pressure or whatever you might call it on him. But Alex is his own man. He's got to come to his own conclusions at the end of the day. So.
He might kind of be like I am. My friend John, who's Orthodox, sent me a meme and it's, you know, it's a guy going, you know, the Orthodox Church is the first church and it really gets everything right. And they're, you know, liturgical.
You can't find errors really in our theology at all. That's right. Why I chose the church.
But yeah. it's this list of things being like, the Orthodox Church is great. It's the oldest. It's all this great stuff. And then it's like, oh, so you're Orthodox? Like, no, I'm Anglican. And then my friend sends me this like, hey, it's you. And cause that's the way I am. Well, I'm like, I get it. The Orthodox Church is right about everything. I was raised Anglican. And so I go to an Anglican church and
you raise an excellent point, Owlkiller, when talking about it being the first church and the original church. A lot of the scourge that we see here in America with like these, like beyond even evangelical, these supporters of Israel that believe in the rapture and
they're like literally worshiping it.
Yeah. They worship Israel, right? And like that's totally foreign to our church. And like that's a thing that we need to make clear. Like I've seen people like Adam Green on Jake Shields preaching this kind of evangelical version of Christianity and then saying that's Christianity. Christianity is bad. And you're like, whoa, you got to take a step back here. Like these people do not represent us. They do not represent the original church. Right. So thank you for making that point. Now, what was your question?
Well, it's not so much a question. So Leon Skousen was on today and
Joel Skousen.
He was even bringing this up. Joel Skousen. I'm sorry. And, you know, he was bringing the point up about, you know, you guys covered it a little earlier today. Rabbinic Judaism is not Old Testament Judaism. And the reason they have the Talmud is because of they know that they missed. It goes back to Daniel 9. And me, I come from the evangelical Protestant rapture background myself. And I am also a catechumen in the Orthodox Church as well. It comes back to Daniel 9, and in Daniel 9, it says that the Messiah is put to death before the destruction of the temple. That's why they have such an obsession with rebuilding that third temple, and evangelicals have bought into this, because they know in order for Daniel 9 to be fulfilled, either they missed the Messiah, or they're going to have to build another temple and, you know, kind of force us into... force the Messiah to come in their eyes. But Theodore Herzl was a actual atheist, and that's why actual Orthodox Jews, they reject Zionism for the fact that they were kicked out in 70 AD. The sanctuary was destroyed. The temple was destroyed.
They see it as like divine punishment, and you're sort of resisting that divine punishment by going against it and trying to create – because, yeah, according to them or what I've heard, you know, Orthodox people say is like, you know, or whoever it is that's against the state of Israel, they're like, it's not supposed to be humans that take Jews back to Israel. It's supposed to be some sort of supernatural event that basically, you know, it's God bringing everybody back to Israel, not Theodore Herzl or the Rothschild. So, yeah, it's extremely interesting. Any takes on that? Rex?
No, just phenomenal call. And
yeah.
Thank you for the message. I really appreciate it. I'll pass it on to my dad.
We could go on for hours about the, you know, intricacies of like where the Talmud came from and all that. But I think you're pretty much on the money, Owlkiller. Thanks for that. Let's go to David in Wyoming now. The magic bullet theory of Charlie Kirk. What's your take on this, David?
Well, I'm an old guy, back about 70 years old, and reloaded my whole life. You know, most of it, I should say. Anyway, I was a fur hunter, hunted furs back in the 70s and 80s before they outlawed furs. And there's a called a Remington Accelerator. It's a .22 caliber bullet in a .30-06 cartridge.
Interesting.
And,
okay.
It's got a muzzle velocity from the factory at 4,080 feet per second.
Wow.
Interesting. Now, we reloaded it down. And being fur bearers, you know, tiny little animals, we're talking fox, coyote, bobcat.
Mm-hmm.
If you blew the fur up on the other side where the bullet came out, well, that caused a problem for the price of the fur. You wouldn't get money for it. So we reloaded it with a hollow point boat tail at a 52 grain, and the bullet would explode and not come out the other side.
Interesting. So you're saying, the theory you're laying out is sort of reconciles the fact that the bullet entry wound doesn't appear as though it came from a .30-06, but that's the gun they're presenting with us. You're saying it could have been the gun was a .30-06, but what was loaded in it was a .22 caliber.
I haven't heard this before, but that's plausible. That makes a lot of sense. It's a good theory.
I don't want to give information like the load, but they're outlawed. Basically, the government outlawed the rounds because they don't leave a rifling on the bullet.
So it can't be identified.
Yep, it's on a plastic sabot when it comes out of the barrel, so there's no riflings. So they kind of, the government eliminated them loading that. So they're hard to find. There's a few out there, but the bullet does explode, and it won't come out the other side. And if it does hit a bone, it will deflect around in the bone so it doesn't come out the other side. That way it didn't damage the fur. So being that that gun was probably a 24-inch barrel, which that's what I shot with the Remington 788 with a 24-inch barrel for those varmints in a .30-06 caliber. And then I went to a .22-250 after that once those were no longer available because it got the same output where we didn't blow the fur.
That's fascinating. And then that sort of – I mean, that is an explanation that sort of answers my last question about the shooting because I basically think it was a sniper, and the only thing I think that doesn't quite align is the wound doesn't look like a .30-06, but if it can be a .30-06 gun with a smaller bullet, then I think everything kind of makes sense. Very interesting. Again, we're getting some great calls today, and we don't know everything about everything. This is why we need varmint hunters from the 70s to call in and tell us about which bullets might be used. Amazing call, David. Thank you for that. Let's go to I want to go on because we're getting so many good calls. I just want to get to more. Let's go to Sean in California, who has a Bible verse for us. Go ahead.
Hey, Harrison, just real fast, that last caller's point, if that round doesn't have riflings, then how do you prove that someone shot that round into the victim? Thus, the trial's up in the air. Now, I was thinking you referenced the Bible Gateway, and their verse of the day, you're going to love this. It's John 3:20-21. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And that's John 3:20-321.
Amazing.
And, I also wanted to fill in a little bit. Well, yeah, I have an order in the mailbox. I'm going to go out and check it a little bit. 3 ultramethylene blues from the realalexjonesstore.com. And also the Charlie Kirk fundraiser t-shirt. It's still out there. And despite the controversies, I figure, you know what, the family could use some comfort. And if they put it to evil, then that'll be between them and their God, you know. So I bought me one of the shirts, and I'm going to be trying out the Ultimate Life Force. Got the Alex Jones sticker sheet that's limited edition because I've been waiting for you guys to get those. And 5 hold the line coins that I'm giving out around here in SoCal as challenge coins. So
That's
awesome.
I got more on the sheet.
You are a patriot and a hero, sir. The AlexJonesStore.com.
Thanks for keeping us on the air.
You got 6 more hours to take advantage of the 2-for-1 sale. I hope you're a VIP club member because you're missing out on some big sales if you're not. But seriously, you keep us on the air, and we really do appreciate it. And we say completely sincerely thank you for going to the Alex Jones store.com and keeping us afloat. We could not and will not be able to do it without you. Thank you for that, Sean. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. Let's keep going. Brian in Ohio wants to talk about Israel. Go ahead, Brian. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. You know, I really did want to talk about Israel because I don't think that we should be following their example. However, I listened to your last caller, and I know a lot of attention is on Charlie, and I love Charlie. I watched all his stuff. However, he knew he was out there putting himself in harm's way. He got death threats and stuff like that. The one thing that really bothers me is that video of that girl on that train, because she didn't put herself out there. And the one thing, I mean, I don't even think she knew she was stabbed at first. And when she held her hand, when she realized it and held her hands over her eyes and started crying, I mean, that ripped part of my soul out.
Yeah. Yeah, Irina Zarutska. Brutal beyond belief. And, I mean, that's why I wanted to cover like the UK in particular and like all of just the insanity there. It just feels like everybody in the West is genuinely under attack right now. Like it is just a full on push for murder and everybody on the left is pushing it. They're pushing it, you know, politically, but you know, it's been a decade of demonization of white people, dehumanizing us and, you know, basically saying that our existence is evil. And now people are acting on that. It is. You're exactly right. We should not let her memory fade. She was a victim of leftism. And actually, that's one of the big segments I didn't even get to today. I'll have to save it for tomorrow, is just crime in general. You know, people are sick of being subjected to relentless crime because our authorities refuse to do anything about it. We don't have to live like this, and we refuse to. Thank you so much for the call, Brian. Any thoughts on that, Rex?
Man, it's just, you know, we see these things on social media every single day. And I, looking at the memorial service date on that card, I can't believe that was over like a month ago, basically. It's so crazy, you know, like it seems like that just happened yesterday, but it happened a month ago. And all these things, and you talk about like Israel's attacks, you talk about what's happening like the Nigerian Christians, all of it. You can see the videos of these things happening in real time. And then, you know, what do? We see it. We go, wow, it's horrible. And then we just kind of move on. Right. But it's always in the back of your head. And these governments, they hate us. Like they hate us. And it's just the truth. It's very sad.
But it is. And it's not just us. It's all over the world. I had another story from today. In Australia, a guy was attacking people with machetes. They let him out and he killed two little kids. And it's like, why are you letting these people? Why do we let these people out? It's so insane.
The situation has to be so bad that people beg for the government to come in and take all their rights. That's what this is all about. I mean, look at Keir Starmer pushing the digital ID. It's because people are having a hard time working because of the, you know, migration problems and whatnot. He says, okay, having a hard time finding a job. We'll make it so everyone can have a job. We'll make this digital ID that makes it all simple, clean, and easy. It's all so tiresome. It's all so tiresome.
That's the meme of our time. Let's go to Chris in Virginia now on line 11. He has a Charlie Kirk theory. Go ahead, Chris. You're on the air.
Hey, you guys.
Howdy.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
All right. First off, I want to say that it's pretty cool to be able to call you because usually you're on the morning clock.
Well, not anymore. I'm here to stay now, fellas.
And I know, and it sucks because you filled that slot for a few years now. And it's kind of taking some getting used to, but she's doing a good job filling in for you. But it is cool to be able to talk to you.
Well, thanks for calling in. So listen.
Y'all was talking about Erica Kirk earlier, and I know we got to give her grace. But, like, there's a lot of reports, and I don't know if y'all seen them or if y'all think there's any credibility to them. But, like, her coming from Romania, her family moving over here, and then, like, her being involved in some, like, Romania orphanage company over there, or like thing over there,
mm-hmm.
like Romanian Angels or something, and like she's not allowed to go back to Romania because supposedly like kids went missing in that or something. And then also her father works for the Raytheon Israel, and her mom worked for the Department of Homeland Security when they moved to the States. So do you guys not think it's possible that maybe she was like a handler?
Well, I think, go ahead.
You know what I mean?
Well, I think, go ahead. I think that, and this is a point Nick Fuentes made, and I agree with it. I think they look at Charlie, they say, hey, you're a young guy. We got an arranged marriage for you. We're going to saddle you up with this girl. You know, she got a good family, you know, in the government, in the clique, you know. We're going to get you together, and then that's going to be your relationship. And I think that's perfectly reasonable to say. I haven't done all the, like, deep dive into her background or whatnot, but it's perfectly reasonable to ask questions about people, especially if they come from foreign countries, right? So,
yeah, I think I don't think she was from Romania. I think she was here, but she had a Romanian – she was involved with a Romanian charity or something. You know, I think they clearly sort of ran in the same circles. I think her parents were involved at Trump at some point. Which to me, that kind of makes sense. Like, wouldn't that be?
It's conservative.
Aren't you going to meet the person, you know, in your own social circles? I met my wife in my social circles, so I don't find that suspicious.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I didn't know he was taking our ultramethylene blue, so I said, "Oh, with all our guests, we asked him to take it, and you just gave me your brief testimony. So I would look, because I mean, this isn't BS. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. takes it. It's good for your cells. If you're on SSRIs, you can't take it. It's very serious. We have the strongest, and it funds this operation. You want to get it at thealexshowstore.com. Medical grade, USP grade, the best. Ultramethylene blue. So you sort of give me your testimony saying you love it. I said, hold on. I don't want to know. I want you to tell people on air, William. So when did you get it? What was the effect?
So I've been a health nut, people call me, all my life.
Well, you look super young for your age. So.
And so I thank God that I've been healthy. And when I take most supplements, a lot of people say, oh, you'll feel, you know, this big surge. And normally I don't. I just think, okay, I'm doing something right for my body and for my brain. And with methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy. It helps me with, I keep a lot of late hours. I'm talking to people over in Europe or over in other continents. And so my biorhythms get all messed up. And so it really helps me with my sleep. And
well, I'll be honest, though, because you, so you're saying your doctors, others told you to do it, just like mine did 6 years ago. I got it, USP. Didn't really have the effect. My wife liked it, so she's been on it. We tried different brands. This one, I'm not trying to differentiate. It's just true. It's been way stronger for me. If you do have other brands you took that are as good or better, I want to know, because if there's something better, we'll go with them.
I haven't found anything better.
Now, back to our program.